kill my father. Prepare to die. Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. I killed my father. Prepare to die. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Stop saying that! Hello! My name is
Inigo
Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die! Now!
Offer me money.
Yes.
Power to promise me
what? All that I have more. Please.
Offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
Broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the greatest speech of the day. I was doing it last night. I was This is how my weekend was. I don't know what you were doing. This weekend, while you were out having fun, wooing women, drinking champagne from the slippers of chorus girls, whatever it is that occupied your Sunday, I was in front of my computer shuffling through my DVD collection, pulling movie speeches off, and I started with that one, and I don't even really know that it can be topped. That may, in fact, be the greatest speech in the history of all cinema right there. That movie, too, really, I'm not going to revisit the whole issue of flawless movies because we've kind of done that, but I'm just going to say right now, The Princess Bride is a movie completely and utterly without flaws, defects, wrinkles, blemishes of any kind. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. Front to back, if you don't like The Princess Bride, there's something really wrong with you. There's some sort of a taint, a blemish, a stain upon your soul. Can't be removed. And here's the. Let me just say this also about Mandy Patinkin, who plays Inigo Montoya, in that. You're that little Spanish brat I told him to listen to all those years ago. That guy. You know, the cool thing about him is he's had so much success later in life, like because he was on Chicago Hope, and then he's on Broadway. He's one of those guys. I don't even know in what, but he's one of those like stage and theater guys, and he's always. I don't know, he's always in some play somewhere, like in the East End of Britain or whatever. Anyway, he's had so much success that he doesn't mind, because it's one thing to be sort of trapped inside a catchphrase. Like, if that's what you do, and then that's all you ever do, and you're never able to get past it, and then you're just some guy being paid 50 cents to go, well, isn't that special, at a state fair somewhere. Then you're, that's no good, because then you're Rodney Allen Rippey. Nobody wants to be that guy. But Mandy Patinkin has gone on to have so much success in other fields and in other movies that he doesn't mind doing the catchphrase. I saw him on Letterman probably, I don't know, probably 18 months ago, year and a half ago, something like that. And he, you know, he came on and he pimped whatever he was doing. He was in some movie or some TV show or whatever. And at the end of his whole appearance on Letterman, Letterman said, "Now, Mandy, before you go, would you say it for me just once?" And the guy, and he totally stood up in front of the guest chair, and he, like, struck the whole pose with the sword. And then he did the whole Inigo Montoya thing, which is fantastic. All right. Why, hello. It's 5 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. My friends, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970 today, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage us telephonically, 503-733-2970. You want to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you. 503-733-2970. And if you want to email us, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Also, Sarah at 970.am, Scotty J at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, etc. 503-733-2-970. All right. Well, we'll get to people calling about whatever here in a second, so we'll get to those. Ed, let me just tell you, give you a brief overview of the things we're going to be handling, tackling, addressing today. Let's see, we have, well, it's only July, what is it, July 1st, 2nd, 1st?
2nd.
2nd? All right, 2nd. So it's only July 2nd, but the fireworks injuries have already begun. This one involving, I'm pretty sure we have multiple fireworks deaths that have already happened somewhere. So we'll get to those. And there's some guy in Portland who merely lost a hand. But that's okay. So we'll get to it. We'll get to that. And I don't know. I'm unclear about whether these are. Well, they can't be legal displays because I was out on my front porch last night, and there was a bunch of fireworks that, you know, the kind that shoot way up into the air and then it bursts into the huge like cauliflower looking thing. And those can't be legal. That's not the city doing it though. So that's. You know what I mean? The one that it looks like a professional fireworks display happening, but I think it's just some guy. I always wonder if the cops just sit out there and just wait for those fire displays to happen, the fireworks displays, and then just go and... I mean, that can't be a thing that's easy to track down. Like, if you're just seeing fireworks go off in the sky, that's got to be almost impossible to locate. There's really no way to triangulate that with any degree of efficiency. Well, in any event, so the fireworks are going off in my neighborhood, at least. So we'll talk about that. A priest, a female companion, and a Toyota Corolla go into a bar. Or, in this case, a ditch. So we'll talk about that later. Lisa Goddard's going to join us from CNN, perhaps. Jim Rube will be joining us from CNN Radio Los Angeles, perhaps.
You know nobody is joining us.
Fantastic. It's going to be the best day ever. Amity, as you know, means friendship. Well, we'll talk about that here in just a skosh. Peter Carlin may be joining us from the Oregonian, perhaps. Clyde Lewis might be joining us today. Perhaps. And we got this top five. Plus the Glorious Bastard of last week, which I did not read. I'm unclear about whether... Like, when we do the Glorious Bastard of the week, I never really know if it's reliant on me. Like, I don't know if they get notified that they've won if I don't say their name. Like, if I don't read the whole thing, I don't know if there's an email that goes out regardless. And if my announcing the Glorious Bastard of the week on the air is just sort of icing on the proverbial giveaway cake... Or if they don't get notified until I read this. I really don't know what kind of power I wield with this printout. So I guess we'll find out. We'll announce the Glorious Bastard of last week. Don't forget, coming up this coming Saturday, 7707, the luckiest day of... Is it the century or the millennium? Because, you know, there was 666. Now, is that once in a century it happens or once in a millennium?
I think it's a century.
So it happens every 100 years? Every 100 years there's no...
Yeah, because every 100 years there's an 07.
Is there?
Wouldn't there be?
I don't know.
2107.
2106, 2206. Okay, you're right. Okay, so the luckiest day of the century is 7707, coming up this Saturday at Outlaws Music Hall. Vanilla Ice, plus giveaways every 7 minutes while we're there. So there's more information on that to be found at 970.am or outlawsmusichall.com. Go to either of those websites right now to find out more about it. We'll be revealing some more things later on in the day. Don't forget to get your tickets for that now because, as they always say, they are... There used to be this thing in radio when you get a promo CD and it would have a big white sticker at the top that said, when you play it, say it, was the thing the record company would stick on there to make sure that the DJ, when he was playing some new piece of music, would announce the band and the name of the song or whatever. There's another phrase that they used to use, which is, don't forget, there are more at the door, which was a way of telling you to go buy your tickets in advance. Anyway, so you want to be doing that now because my gut sense, now I have nothing to base this on except my own sense of the zeitgeist, the vibe. My sense is that the Vanilla Ice thing is really going to be immensely crowded. That's my thing. I'm just telling you, it's just sort of a general sensation that I've got inside me, just in the depths of my soul. I have this feeling about the Vanilla Ice show, which is coming up this Saturday. It's going to be huge. So you want to be getting your tickets for that right now. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hungover and Raul's mad at me.
Okay. Bam. And welcome to the new week.
Woo!
Now, you're hungover and Raul's mad at you. Now, one of those things, does it bear relation to the other?
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember why he's mad at you, or did you just wake hung up with,
I tried
hungover
to
with
remember.
A note like, I have left?
No, he actually didn't even come back yesterday.
Fantastic. All right.
No, it was, my friend had a big barbecue, and then, you know, everyone starts drinking a little too much.
And by everyone, you mean?
Me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so do you, I mean, did he just leave the barbecue, or?
I don't know. He keeps giving me the thing. I'm like, so what did I do? And he's like, you should
know
what you did.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
And I don't know what I did. And so I'm trying to figure out what I did, but
you
I
know
remember.
Perfectly well what you did.
He's like, I will talk to you when you're ready to talk about what you did. And I don't know.
So it's going to be a long, cold day.
It's going to be a bad day.
Fantastic. Well, that's wonderful. Hey, how are those CNN guests coming?
Oh, they're going swimmingly. Lara's not answering, and the guy who put me on hold for 10 minutes, and he never came back.
That's wonderful.
Just like Raul.
That's a... Maybe the word has spread. Maybe you're being shunned. Well, that's great.
I'll keep trying. I don't know if anyone's actually there. But I have the other phone number, so I'll keep
You know what I'd like to ask? I'd like to find some other CNN radio affiliates, the people in maybe Los Angeles, or somebody in Washington State, like somebody in Seattle, and find out, is it just us? Are we the ones who get ignored by CNN, or is it everybody in the West Coast? Is it everybody west of the Mississippi? I'd like to know exactly at what point in the continental United States the ignoring by CNN radio begins. We can't be the only market. I mean, I know this seems like a common lament of ours, but really, we can't be the only radio station that gets the short end of the stick from the people at CNN every day when we're just trying to promote them by booking their goddamn correspondents. For the love of Christ. All right, well, whatever. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Now, I forgot about this until I got his email about it this weekend. Tim Riley is in absentia today, as they say. Tim Riley is gone for the day. He will be returning to the program tomorrow. Now, I went through a long list of people. When it came time to cover the news today, I started with Clyde. I talked to Aaron. We have other friends in the media. I was racking my Rolodex trying to come up with somebody who was both willing and able and competent enough to come in and do the news today. I was able to locate no one like that. So,
who were you able to locate?
Working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, good morning, Cornelius. We have...
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I'm going to say a new city each time.
Okay, that's great.
We have an extreme...
Oh, are you creating a catchphrase?
We have an extreme plethora of news today.
You can't have an extreme... Okay, go ahead.
Well, five men were reported missing on Wednesday after a fireworks factory blew up in a series of explosions. A dozen 7-Eleven stores around the country have turned into quickie marts. Portland stores are not included. A man is saved after jumping from a...
You're not teasing the stories. You're just reading the story.
It's a huge tease.
I know everything about the story now. This is not a tease at all. You've just condensed the story down and give me the whole thing.
Okay, well, here's one for you. A man is saved after jumping from a cruise ship while another dies trying the same stunt.
See, but...
You just told the story.
Yeah, you see again how you've not teased a single thing?
Another man who tried the same thing. Did he survive?
No, he didn't. How do I know that? You just told me! You're like one of those movie trailers that's like 4 minutes long and gives away everything.
Okay, let's try again.
On the run. And then they show Anthony Hopkins standing up in court and being the secret witness, and he's set free. You've just done the whole thing.
Okay, here's a tease for you. Just after their first phone release, a certain company...
What company could you be talking about?
Is having problems with their annual iTunes contract.
I am mystified. I can't imagine what company you're talking about.
I also have another tease for you. A certain actress, Lindsay Lohan, is celebrating a milestone today. A small milestone, but I won't tell you what it is.
Do you see how that...
Like that?
Okay, you should have not said her name.
Yeah, see, because now I know.
Yeah, I should have just said LL.
You could have just said an actress. For the love of... All right. And by the way, since Scotty is in here, that means as little as the calls are sometimes screened, like on a normal day, they're not being screened at all today. So if you'd like to comment about, you know, anything, doesn't matter. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to demonstrate the proper way to tease a story, you know, whatever. Hey, what do we know about Peter Carlin? He's in Las Vegas today, though, right?
Yes, and I believe he has several interviews going on, and I asked him if we could have just a moment of his time, and he said he was uncertain about
I don't
that.
Really know. I'm kind of a big deal.
He's actually busy.
Uh-huh, yeah. All right. 503-733-2970. Anything else? You done with the teasing?
Yeah, I apparently I don't know how to tease properly.
Here, give me a story.
You see the,
I'll give you a new one.
Give me, just hand me one off.
We don't want to hear the same news I already read.
No, no, we don't.
Man, let me read. Let's see here. Let me just read a... why are all these stories printed out
yellow?
On bright orange paper?
Yeah, I ran out of paper and I ran out of time.
Okay, that's a bad story. Give me another one.
Let's see. A classic rock double feature is coming to the area. We'll tell you which band will be kicking out the oldies later on. Okay, that's a terrible tease. Because I'm talking like an idiot, but you know, but see, but you don't know who I'm talking about.
No,
you don't know what I'm talking about. It's exciting. See, now you're going to have to. It's a guarantee.
Exactly.
Now I've dangled a little something that you have to wait to get paid off on.
All right, there you go. There's that.
All right, let's just take some of these calls about whatever, and then we got to talk about a few other things. Hi, the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I just want to know, do you guys happen to catch Lisa Goddard on CNN television this weekend?
No, I do.
She's reporting from Reagan National Airport.
About what was the story, sir?
Yeah, she was the reaction to all the stuff that was going on in Britain. The terrorist
attack. Oh, yeah, there was some guy trying to blow up a thing or whatever. Yeah, no, I didn't. You know, apparently she's become kind of a go-to girl on CNN. She's on the verge. She's the new it girl, apparently, with CNN.
Yeah,
they
took her at the airport, and I want to tell you something, Rick. She's hotter than balls.
That's hotter than, not just hot as balls, hotter than balls. That, yeah. We'll get her to put that on her business card. Thank you. Yeah. All right, bye now. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, you know, as much as you guys laugh about Sarah being on over and partying off...
About what? Hold on. I can't understand a single thing you're saying. Start again.
I said, as much as you folks laugh about, you know, Sarah coming hungover every morning...
I think it's Sarah
like she's got a serious drinking problem when you come in every day saying, I'm hungover, I've got drinks all hours of the night.
She doesn't have a drinking problem at all. She does it... She does it flawlessly. Oh, I'm sorry.
Her glasses are...
He was trying to make an important social statement.
Yes, because I come in and hung over every morning.
Yeah, the only problem is the glass is empty, right, Sarah?
I'm having a drinking problem. There's no booze in my glass.
No, I'm not even going to validate that guy.
No, F him. No. But that was funny, but let's all acknowledge that Scotty had a funny comment there. I'm having this drinking problem.
Thank you for being there for me, sir, for yelling at me and hanging up.
Totally, yeah. Thanks
you should give me a verbal hug.
Thanks for being an oak. Thanks for being a rock she can cling to.
Thanks for the group therapy.
Seriously. A-hole.
Sir, let me judge you. Goodbye.
I'd like to help you by hurling names and then running away. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I wanted to know...
Hold on just a second, sir. You should totally go on a binge. And then blame it on that guy. You should totally have some
it's
sort
all
of...
You.
Seriously, lock yourself into
I
a...
I felt like I had it all under control, Rick, until that dude called.
Until this douche called me on the air and was an a-hole to me.
And didn't hug... I wanted him to come to the station and hug me.
Seriously.
Make me right.
Check yourself into a Motel 6 and just, you know... And right after you cut your wrist, just write on the wall, douche called show, must kill self. All right. Hello. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, first, let Sarah know her hug is on the way. I'm on my way down right now. I just dropped everything I have.
Okay.
I wanted to know if you guys heard about that, the whole Quickie Mart 7-Eleven, how Portland got the shaft.
Yes, I did. We have a story about that coming up later on.
Oh, you just gave it all away. Forget it.
Seriously, you gave it away. You said you gave the whole story in like two sentences. Yeah, we did. We're going to be talking more about it. It is sort of inexcusable. I mean, since Scotty's given it away. The worst part about it is, not only did we not get a Quickie Mart, but they gave one to friggin' Seattle.
Stupid. I'm throwing this in the garbage.
Goddamn Seattle got one, and Matt Groening's not even from Seattle. So the whole thing just infuriates me. I don't understand. And I know that a lot of that was under Groening's control, him and James Brooks, the guy who do the Simpsons. I know that they got to make a lot of that call. So I don't know why they didn't give us... all we've got here is that they've got a 7-Eleven that's selling, like, squishy vanilla blue or something, or whatever the hell it's called.
I thought there was one... We had a story last week of something being remodeled.
I don't think so.
Quickie Mart.
I know that there's a 7-Eleven here that's selling Buzz Cola and like squishy vanilla blue woohoo or whatever some Simpsons flavor. But we're not actually getting a Quickie Mart. The closest Quickie Mart to here is in Seattle, which to the best of my knowledge has no Simpsons connection. It's a goddamn travesty, is what it is.
Yeah, and they ended up giving one to some podunk town in Maryland.
Seriously, F that. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. She's right there listening to me. Hello? For the love of... All right. Bye. Hi, Rick Emerson.
Fantastic. Thank you.
See what happens. Everything just falls apart.
Everything's not falling. It's a glorious day. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Do we want to be attempting to contact CNN again?
Yeah.
Let's call them, shall we?
Oh, you got dial 9. Hold on. All
right,
there we go.
What is going on here? Let me hang it up. I'm just going to call from here.
I'll just wait here.
In the meantime, I can't tease you about that story.
Don't tease anything.
And on radio, this is Laura.
Oh, hey, Laura. Laura. How you doing?
Hey, this you guys have me on the air,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, you do. This is Sarah Dillon and Rick Emerson at KCMG. Hey, yeah, we're in Portland, Oregon. How are you, Laura?
Fine. What's up?
Hey, just calling about to... What are
I called
things?
Before, but anything. I couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Okay.
Did you leave a message?
No, I found you called me the number that you left on the message, though, and I talked to another dude and he put me on hold for 15 minutes.
You know, leaving a message is... Talking to a recorded version of you, it's just a pale imitation of your glorious, wonderful voice, Laura.
That is very sweet.
And I noticed you changed your last name, too.
Yep.
So,
I sure did.
Would you prefer to talk to Sarah off the air? Are you uncomfortable engaging in guest booking in this live fashion?
I'm fine. Just let me know what you need.
We want to talk to Lisa Goddard at 2:40 Eastern.
Okay. I don't think that's going to be possible. She's actually unavailable till after 3.
Till after, so that would be after noon our time?
Yep.
So do you want to say 12:30?
Let's do it.
Can't do it at that time.
15?
Got another?
3:40?
Sorry, it's not an option, Scotty. All right.
Is 3:40 available?
3:40 is available.
Okay.
And?
And?
She's still booking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't know the gentle process. And Jim Roop at 4:10? Not on the iPhone again, Rick. I don't want to talk about the iPhone.
No, he's also talking about Phil Spector.
So what do you want to talk about with Lisa?
Let's see. Vladimir Putin.
Okay. The Vlad man.
This is a superhero alter ego.
There you go.
All right.
And then Jim at 4:10.
Yes, please. I'm Phil Spector. Not in any way on the iPhone.
He'll appreciate it, too, you know.
All right. Excellent. Is that going to work?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
All right, thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, you're welcome.
There you go. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was pleasant. All right.
That's what I do every morning.
Have fun with that. It's hard to believe you drink. 503-733-2970. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Why, hello there.
What is Laura Caviezel's problem?
No, sir, you
I
said
do
that.
It every morning.
Yeah, that's not a thing. I didn't pass any judgment, sir. I was pleasant as pie to her.
Yes, you were, Rick, and you should be congratulated for your ability to be just that pleasant.
Yeah, that's what I do. How can I help you today?
Well, I just called to wish you a Merry Monday. I hope your air conditioning is working. And nothing in particular.
Well, that's great.
Ever.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you. You in no small part to the glory of your call, sir. Thank you. All right. 503-733-2970. Yeah, well, that's fine. Scotty is filling in for Tim Riley today, who is not in attendance. All right. Well, we'll take a break here in a few. We'll come back. This is actually good because we'll get some stuff done later this hour where we would normally have. Since when is Lisa not available at like 11:30 or 11:40?
I don't know.
I don't even understand it. I don't even know what that's all about. Well, whatever. So we'll come back. We'll talk about a few things. I'm just going to say this. First of all, my nose itches. Hold on. All right. I'm just going to say, well, I have this big pile of stuff. I don't even know if I should do it here. Should I break? What, do we have one more break after this one? We have this one and then one more? So should we break or should I do my pile of stuff now?
Why don't we just break and come back? Because we don't have anybody at the bottom.
Take a break here. We'll come back. We'll get to this business of the. It has to do with not with Paris Hilton directly, but there's a guy called up last week with a great thing that he wants sort of discussed. This is very rarely do we just sort of take listener submissions on top of a guy. Rick, I know how you could spend a quarter of an hour, but we do have a great submission for that. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about A, B, and C list celebrities. I've got this big pile of stuff to get to, and we'll spin the prize wheel to find a random thing to talk about. So we'll do all that. We'll come back. News hour at the top with Scotty J. Later on, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, etc. You stay there. So Rick Emerson. Does it take you more than an hour to do one of his newscasts in the afternoon?
Why, yes, it does, Rick.
Because you're pre-recording all this, right?
Yes.
So is it...
Here, I got to tell you the amazing thing about Tim, and we've talked about this before, but he does it all in one take. He has his sound clips in there, everything.
Tim's a pro.
Seconds,
Tim
he's
is a done, news machine.
Out the door.
So it's going to take... So the first newscast you have to do, because Scotty Jip will also be doing Tim's top of the hour newscast this afternoon, 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock. So you're going to pre-tape those. So your first one is until 4, so you've got a full hour. Because our show ends at 3. The first news you have to do is at 4. Are you telling me it takes you an hour to put together that 90 seconds of news?
About 45 minutes.
But
I'm getting better at it. The thing is, I do several takes and, you know, chop it up.
What with the accidental deleting of many of your files?
See, I think I'll be faster this time.
What does the button do? Deliver? I'll press that. I'll press the deliver button. All right. 503-733-2970. All right. I got three different things to do here, and I don't know which one to get to. Coming up at the top of the air, we'll do the AM 970 new news hour with the Intrepid Scaredy J. Lisa Goddard later on, Jim Roop, the top five, perhaps Peter Carlin, and more. I don't know. I got all of this stuff to do. All right. So, Sarah, here's the thing. You can either pick what we do, or I can spin the wheel. Would you like to know the things we have to choose from, or do you want me just to pick something randomly?
I'll just pick something randomly. We have that huge pile, right?
Yes, we do. Oh, wait. Is my computer up here? Let me just spin the... It's time to play What Are Some Songs from the 90s That Only I Remember with Rick Emerson. Sarah Dillon, please be telling me if you know. And this came out of a conversation that Scotty J and I had. This really is something from several weeks ago. But then, this is a conversation I've been having with everybody inside the building. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no reason for this subject. There's no basis. There's no justification to be having this discussion. Except this is one of the little bits of conversational detritus floating around inside my brain like so much conversational flotsam. So this is a conversation that I've been bringing up with everybody in the building. And the subject is, what is a song from the 90s that only you remember? Go.
Oh, gosh, on the spot. Ooh, You're Gold, Wilson Phillips.
See, I have no idea what that is. Mm-hmm. Was it a single or was that
a single.
An album cut? Really? Is that something they released?
No, maybe it wasn't a single. Maybe it was just an album cut, but I remember hearing it on the radio.
Okay, Scotty J, a song for the 90s that only you remember.
Well, I think the name of the song is called Voices, and I think it was a 90s song. I'm pretty positive.
Who's it by?
I forget the guy's name, but it's like, don't look back, don't turn now, I hear voices. I don't even remember the words. Look straight ahead. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I don't know, but I like it when you sing. Keep singing it.
I don't even know the words. That's the sad part.
And this all came out of a conversation that Scotty and I had when we were judging that the Portland Teen Idol thing. And so there's some band playing. It was like, it wasn't a competitor. It was like some band between sets came out. And they were like, they did 3-4 songs or whatever. And Scotty, and I told this after the fact, but I'll say it again. So Scotty leans over at a certain point during this band's performance, and he says the most random thing to me. He says, these guys have got a real Vertical Horizon thing going on.
Huh.
Which is the weirdest thing, because Vertical Horizon is one of those bands I'd even thought of. Vertical Horizon had... Everybody remember the song they had? Sarah, go. Vertical Horizon.
I don't remember.
They're not the ones that did Drive, are they?
No, that was R.E.M.
No,
I
no.
thought you were the one that name-checked Vertical Horizon.
You're the one who said the band had a Vertical Horizon thing going on.
Spin the Wheel and Drive God, I don't know the words today.
I think you're making up a lot of these songs.
I think they did do Drive. I'm going to look it up.
Spin the Wheel and Drive.
Yes. He's talking about... choosing to drink water over wine. Na, 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 da, da. I don't even know.
None of these songs really exist.
Just like singing.
Are these all songs in your own little personal jukebox inside your head that's made up of songs no one else has access to?
No, I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay, now hold on. Before you look it up, because I don't want you cheating here.
Oh, I'm not going to cheat on
when
those.
You said the band, this band at PDX Teen Idol, when you said they had a real Vertical Horizon thing going on, please now to sing for me a song by Vertical Horizon.
I think it's this Drive song.
See, you're not even thinking of the single, though. You're not even thinking. Vertical Horizon only ever had one song. They had I am fascinated by one-hit wonders. One-hit wonders fascinate me. But one-hit wonders, way too often, though, when people talk about one-hit wonders, they fixate on, like, the 60s or the 70s or, like, the Flying Purple People Eaters of the world. But every decade has those. And Vertical Horizon, they were part of that weird... Like, Vertical Horizon was sort of a... I can't even believe I'm using this phrase. They were sort of a sub Third Eye Blind. Not quite. not quite as great or groundbreaking as your Third Eye Blind or your Matchbox 20. Vertical Horizon had this song that for some reason always reminds me of Brian Krakow from My So-Called Life.
Brian Krakow.
For some reason, I always think of this song as being Brian Krakow's theme song. That was the big Vertical Horizon hit. And I will sing a few bars of that in just a moment. By the way, all calls today are totally and completely unscreened because Scotty is in here filling in for Tim Riley. We're too cheap to hire anybody to fill in for Scotty. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, that song that Scotty's trying to figure out is Incubus.
Yeah,
Drive.
I just figured that out. Yep.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
So now don't you know what Vertical Horizon
okay,
does.
Okay, thank you, sir. So now you're comparing this band at PDXT and Idol to a band that you don't even really know anything about.
Right.
All right. I will give you $10 if you can sing for me any part of the hook to Vertical Horizon's one song.
Well, if you say the song, I might be able to think
of
it.
No, because if I tell you the song, you're going to know the hook.
Well,
this is all
Vertical
a long,
Horizon.
Long way.
I've been thinking... Third Eye Blind.
You're thinking about that. You know, can I just tell you this? Third Eye Blind had one, or is it Matchbox 20? No, it's Third Eye Blind. They had one.
Matchbox 20, Push. Oh, my God.
That is a great song. Isn't that a song about a girl that likes it rough? Isn't that the whole thing about that song?
I think it was about a girl that was being knocked around.
Ah, I thought she liked it that way. Not in real life, but I'm saying in terms of the song. Third Eye Blind sang the Semi-Charmed Life song.
Yeah.
And then they had something else, though. They had, what was that song
Jumper.
About the...
They had How's It Gonna
Jumper.
Be?
Yeah, that. Boy, you know, I saw those guys not in person live, but I saw them performing that Semi-Charmed Life song live on some TV show. Boy, did they suck. They were just the worst live band. They were just, they were all kinds of ass. They were terrible. Vertical Horizon, before we get to them, Third Eye Blind had this one really great song that was not Jump or Push or whatever that song... See how they all blend together, even just a couple years after the fact? This is how the clouding of history begins. I can't even tell the band's part of my memory. They had that song about, what was that song that went, na na na, take a promise to your mother, na 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 na. That was some Third Eye Blind song. That was really great. It was a single.
Promise
that just,
to your mother?
Yeah, it had this line. It had this line about something, break a promise to your mother.
Oh, I know that song. Break a promise to your mother. That was
a great song.
No,
turn around.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that was. Are we really doing this as a radio program or just singing little bits of song?
I know that you're all kind of out of whack because Tim's gone.
It's fine. No, it's fine. But I did want to get to this, and it's all an excuse to play this song that we're going to get to in a second. Vertical Horizon's hit was Everything You Want.
Oh, yeah.
He's everything you want. He's everything you need, which in no way sounds anything like the band we saw at PDXT Idol, by the way. So you've completely muffed it on that. Okay, so I asked Becca, who works she's the KUFO promotions director. And I came up, and the great thing about this conversation was she didn't hesitate for even a second. Not even, I came to her and I said, Becca, song from the 90s that only you remember. And she immediately spat out the name of this song and the artist. She said artist and name. I'd forgotten all about this song.
Can I guess the band?
Yeah.
It's Natalie Merchant and 10,000 Maniacs.
No, that's a stupid guess. Okay. Why would that be a song that... No, I'm sorry. That was unduly harsh.
That was pretty mean.
No. But this artist is it's a woman, obviously. She's very definition of a one-hit wonder. And you think everybody sounds like Natalie Merchant. We're having this, we're having a singer in... We're having a singer on the show later this week. This woman named Stephanie Schneiderman. Is that her name?
Yes. Of the Dirty Martini Band.
And she sang at Portland PDXT Night as well, Scotty's first. She sounds just like Natalie Merchant at 10,000 Maniacs. You think everybody sounds like Natalie Merchant. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How you doing, Mr. Emerson?
What's up, sir?
Two things. The Vertical Horizon song that you're speaking of, do you remember the video to that? It had one of my childhood crushes.
No, I don't.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Really?
Yes, you remember that?
No,
doesn't look bad, though.
I know, she still looks hot. I don't think I ever saw the video for that. I think around 1999, 1998, I think I quit seeing videos. I don't think, it's like that thing, start seeing motorcycles. I just had one in my head that stop seeing videos, and I think, Ever since then, I think the only videos I've seen are those I've actively sought out, like if I looked on YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah, looking up something specific.
Yeah, no, I don't think I... Because it's really... not, and I hate to be another guy complaining about MTV, because really, I'm so far out of the target demographic, it doesn't even matter at this point. But really, I don't even really know where kids see videos anymore. It must almost totally be on the Internet. I mean, the Internet must be the sole repository of videos now, because I don't really think a lot of kids are sitting around waiting for MTV to show them stuff these days.
No, I don't think so, for that 3 minutes a day that they show videos.
Seriously.
Now, the thing I wanted to complain about is you haven't called me back. I've got my Indian ID and everything. I thought we were going to do our portable casino.
I don't think... I think we decided that the state wasn't going to allow... We had this idea for 7707, which is coming up this weekend. We had this idea that in addition to Vanilla Ice, who's going to be performing at Outlaws that night, and we're going to be there for that, we had this idea that we were going to get an Indian to drive a station vehicle with us.
That was me. We were talking on air about it.
I know. I understand. I'm just recapping, sir, for those who came in late, that we were going to try to find an Indian to ride around, and then we were going to claim that the station vehicle was the AM-970 roaming Indian reservation, and that it was sort of a... You know, that much like the Sioux Nation, it was carried around in the heads of the Sioux Indians. We were just going to claim that, like, you know, whatever Indian reservation was sort of being carried around with us inside the station vehicle, thus allowing us to do some sort of slot machine promotion. And I believe we were told in no uncertain terms that that was, that Whitey was not going, the white man was not going to let that fly. That the government was not going to, they were not going to let us do that.
So they were holding us down again, basically.
Well, it's what they do. It's really the only thing that white people are good at is the oppressing of others. It's really their only marketable skill, sir.
Well, that's wonderful.
Well, all right, sir. I'm sorry about that.
I don't know.
And about the smallpox. I'm sorry about that, too. All right, that's an Indian. 503-733-2970, yes?
I was just going to tell you that, back to your video thing, what do the kids watch? It's on the higher channels now, like 200-300. That's where real MTV is, and it's just videos all day long.
I don't understand what that means.
As opposed to the regular MTV in the first 70 channels.
Well, there's like MTV 2 or whatever.
Yeah, when you get up higher.
I don't think kids watch MTV much anymore. I really don't. And maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I'm just being out of old and out of touch. But I think MTV, it seems to me like MTV is, I mean, the MTV, like Madonna, it's hard to believe. You talk about a network that just reinvents itself about every 3 or 4 years, and the great and bad thing about MTV is that it has no sense of its own history, and it does that very deliberately. Because if you're like some 13-year-old kid now, how old is MTV? 25 years old, something like that?
Yeah, 1988.
So let's say 25 81? Years old. If you're some 13-year-old kid now, your parents grew up watching MTV. But of course, if a 13-year-old or 15-year-old kid now realized that his parents watched MTV growing up, MTV would suddenly and totally become very uncool. And so that's why MTV has to sort of hide the fact that it's been around for 25 years. MTV has to appear, I've thought about this a lot actually, to each generation, MTV must appear as though it has only existed for that generation. Because kids don't want to take part in anything that their parents took part in. And so if MTV were to sort of reveal the fact that they were around for your parents, you would no longer watch it. So MTV, with every year, shuns its own history. It just tries to shed its own past with every passing generation. It's kind of a weird phenomenon when you think about it. But I think MTV, even at this point, as good as they are morphing and evolving and sort of transmogrifying into something new every couple of years, I think MTV probably seems hopelessly staid and out of touch for today's kids. Because, you know, the Internet, I mean, I'm not saying anything anybody didn't know, but the Internet changes, you know, by the day. I mean, every few minutes the Internet changes. Whereas MTV, you know, they're just not able to adapt that fast anymore. And I think they're going to get evolved right out of the teenage habit. I really do. All right, I got to continue this song, and then we'll take more of these calls. I hold it in coming up on the hook. Before I play that, how much does she sound like every other artist from the 90s, by the way? How much does she sound like 90% of the Lilith Fair artists that ever performed anywhere during that decade? All right, here's the hook.
Oh my God, David Duchovny, why don't you love
me? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Radio. radio hit.
It was like an old rock hit. Yeah, this was like played on the sort of KROQs of the world.
Okay.
Do you remember this song?
I do not at all. Song.
The other David Duchovny, Why Don't You Love Me? Anybody know the artist? Bree Sharp, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
And you know, you gotta feel bad for somebody like this because this should have been her ticket to stardom. But I mean, how do you follow this song up? It's impossible.
She sounds just like the other, you know, Lilith.
She does sound
artists.
A lot like Natalie Merchant.
Totally.
Yeah, was not wrong with that.
Yeah, so my answer wasn't stupid, right, Sarah?
Defenses. I mean, what a great song.
I want to kill Scully. Remember that?
No.
David Duchovny, Why Don't You Love Me? I Want to Kill Scully.
That's fantastic. I really only know the hook. Because I'm not the target audience for this song. You know, and as soon as she wrote this song, this is exactly the kind of song that is great. Because it'll immediately launch your career, but it's bad because it's impossible to follow up. You can never, how can you follow up a David Duchovny? It's like, what's his name? Who's that guy, Sean Mullins, that did the lullaby song?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song. I mean, I thought it was a really legitimately beautiful one. He was that, you know, the rockabye, right? And he had that weird voice, sounded like it was covered in corduroy. It was a whole lot of man.
The CD that song was on, every song is good, by the way.
Yeah, but that song is so distinctive, there's just no possible way that you can issue any... It's like those Plain White Tees guys are going to have that problem with that Hey Delilah song, which is a beautiful song. That Hey There Delilah, which is, I think it's in the top 10 right now. I mean, that song to me is the definition of an instant classic. It really reminds me a lot of early Simon and Garfunkel stuff. I mean, it's whatever anybody, and you can spare me to call me a pussy or whatever for liking. It's a beautiful song. But they'll never write, those guys have got to know that. I mean, I wonder, here's the thing I think about. I wonder exactly where the sort of event horizon is when your ecstasy over having a huge hit single begins to turn into panic about how am I going to follow this up. Because you got to figure there's a life cycle to that, right? Like, day one, song gets released. Day two, song starts to get radio airplay. You're excited. Day three, MTV starts playing your video. You're really happy. Day five, song enters the charts. You're really excited. Day, 12, song is in the top 10. You are ecstatic. Day 25, song gets standing ovation at concert. You are over the moon. Day 26, you wake up and begin to have panic attacks about how you are going to follow up the song. Day 35, you don't think you'll ever be able to follow up the song. Day 50, you are drunk every day by noon because your record company is demanding a follow-up.
MC Hammer story is what you're saying right now.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
At day 51, you're Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon.
day 52, yes, you are rotting in the aisle of your tour bus.
You know, I was big into the alternative back in the early 90s there, and I still stand by Toad the Wet Sprocket, and nobody today knows who they were.
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Toad the Wet Sprocket, of course.
Yeah, do you know, they were just here, actually.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Yes, they were. But the one that I always go back is I don't think anyone ever knows the song, is a group called Dada, and they did a song called Disneyland.
You know what's so weird is? I was just looking that up the other day, the song Disneyland by Dada. You know those guys? Do you ever do this? Do you ever research a band that you remember for one slight hit 20 years ago, and then you find out they put out like 50 albums since then, and they're still touring, and it just amazes you? Dada has put out like an album a year, every year since then, and that was like 13 years ago.
Yeah, no, actually it was more than that. It was 92.
Yeah, I remember. I had to play that song. I had to play the song. Disneyland, and I remember the album cover was one of those little troll dolls inside a vise. It was like inside a big metal vise.
Yep, and of course Disneyland was misspelled
because they had to. Yeah,
they learned their lesson from Green Jelly.
Totally, the three. Yeah, because they had to change. They were Green Jello, who had to change their name to Green Jelly. Yeah, Disneyland was spelled with like two Z's or something.
Yeah, Dizzknee.
Disneyland. I forgot all about that. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later.
By the way, Voices, this email says Voices by Russ Ballard from 1994. Also, Scotty is a Tool. Here's another one. Toad. Here's another one. Toad the Wet Sprocket. Let's see. What else do we have here? We have people. So let's see. Rick, example of a song that could never be followed up. This is totally true. Walking in Memphis by Mark Cohn.
Oh, it's a great song.
God, except which is another one of those songs that, like...
Actually, it's not a great song. I think I'm just...
It's a terrible song.
It's been redone 12 times, too.
Walking in Memphis is one of the worst songs. That's the other song that incredibly white kid sang at the PDX Teen Idol. The one he sang that, and he sang a Phil Collins
exactly
song.
Like, when I Walking in Memphis, like, it's totally locked in my mind with Black Velvet.
Oh, totally. Exactly. Yeah. And it's because they're both white people singing in some faux soul... styling about the South and about, like, hanging out in the Mississippi Delta. When we were at PDX Teen Idol, there was this kid, I don't mean to knock him, but he sang Walking in Memphis and a Phil Collins song, and again, he was, like, the whitest kid I'd ever seen, and then I read his bio, and he was going to Brigham Young University this coming fall, and that explains everything right there. But Walking in Memphis, it's like, written in that faux sort of, like, you know, like, it's got that faux Southern, like, black sort of slang, you know, the way that it's written in that line about, you know, tell me, are you a Christian boy? And then, you know, ma'am, I am tonight, you know, it's terrible.
So
it
bad.
Makes my skin crawl. Walking in Memphis, it's a song that I hate, that everybody in this room probably hates, and yet every time you go to karaoke, you will see someone singing Walking in Memphis. I guarantee freaking
And somebody's totally feeling it, too.
Totally, totally. Walking in Memphis is a song, man, you write this down. Walking in Memphis is one of those songs that comes out about every 12 years. There's a version of a song like this. And it's a song entirely made for white people to pretend that they're feeling soul within them. That's what that song is for. Just like Black Velvet. Black Velvet's exactly the same way. It's a song for white people to feel like they got the blues down so bad and the feeling done gone through them. That's totally what that song is for. Rick, see also Sunny Came Home by Sean Cole.
Oh, my God, Sunny Came Home.
Exactly. hi. Thanks so much. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a topic so in my wheelhouse. The whole thing to me is cultural relevance.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of great music, and I'm kind of a goofy amalgam from the 70s and 80s. I was a total metalhead, and yet I also listened to... I grew up on, the new wave, and there was a lot of great stuff from back then, but then, again, a lot of it's just dead to me, and I'm really glad that there's some kind of a conscious effort to stay in the now. Nothing disgusts me more than nostalgia and traditions and anything
and
that kind of...
stupid stuff and guts.
Yeah!
And...
Okay. Yes, hell.
You sound very joyless about this whole thing, sir. Most importantly, what are your feelings about Ugly Kid Joe's Everything About You?
Oh, man, yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Those are hilarious for what they are. You know, those kind of...
Oh, wait, hold on a second. I know what you are. You're a hipster. I can tell it. I can tell it from your tone of voice and your comments. Those are great for what they are, Rick.
I'm not. I'm really conscious of cultural relevancy, and you know those things are amusing. Ugly Kid Joe,
you're amusing.
That was a farce.
Bring him here. He amuses me.
those were just my wife and I talk about this all the time because she was an 80s kid too, and she's she was a hardcore new waver, and so we're always talking about what are the bands and tunes that that kind of stand the test of time, and what today, what music do you find?
Seriously, are you, please, are you a record critic or something? Because you have exactly that tone of voice.
No, it's just, things are just so, there's so much forgettable music today. And that's there is so much crap that just doesn't matter. It goes in one ear, out the other, and it's gone.
I have to end this. All right, thank you, sir.
All right,
we're done. Thanks so much.
Well, Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Seriously, did that guy not sound like he was ready to wear like a jacket with like patches on the elbows?
I don't know.
Hang out with Mark Baumgarten somewhere? Write something about Elvis Costello?
Tuned him out. As soon as you hear someone starting to go on a tangent, I just kind of fade out.
As soon as I hear the whole, music today, Rick, isn't like it was when I was growing up. Seriously. Music's not any worse, sir. You're just getting old.
Once again, I'm watching YouTube and somebody's just put together slides with matching pictures to the lyrics.
Oh, wait, here we go. Man, I sure am white. Walking in Memphis. Really? It's like a homemade slideshow to this?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's when I was playing that David Duchovny song. It's like a homemade slideshow of somebody standing with pictures of David Duchovny. Creepy. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
One hit wonder, Everclear.
Well, it sounds like one hit. All right, thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, going back to MTV. What was the Tubes? What was that one where she's like a beauty?
She's a beauty. Yeah.
No, did they ever follow that up with anything?
No, no. Although the Tubes were just here. The Tubes were here this weekend. The Tubes were actually just. It's so weird you talk about that. The Tubes were just here Saturday at the Aladdin.
Oh, I missed it.
The other
perennial
MTV deal is Gene Loves Jezebel
Desire. Gene Loves Jezebel. Oh, my God. Gene Loves Jezebel, though. They also had another song called Jealous.
Yeah, I love that one.
Jealous. That was like full-on Beavis right there. Thank you, sir.
Beautiful.
All right. Oh, we done? We're not going to hear the Marcone anymore? Oh, sorry.
Hey, these Toad the Wet Sprocket guys, they've been around, had over 5 albums, early 80s.
You just looked that up.
Now. I have. Right.
You just looked it up on the net. You don't know that.
They've had tons of these albums and songs, and you could probably only remember one or two tops.
Right. All right, I'm sending you the video for this. It's hilarious. There's like a stock footage of like blue suede shoes. It's just someone getting a touchdown.
Oh, come on.
It's
really?
Like in the middle of the pouring rain, and somebody drew like a cloud with rain.
Walking in Memphis is an awful song. And, you know, I'll guarantee you there's been at least a couple of country versions of that by now. There's some guy over in Couples singing it right now, probably. Rick, the ultimate song no one could ever follow up to has to be, and this is another one, this is an artist who I know lots of her follow-up material, but nobody else does. It's, I don't even want to announce it. I want to play it and just watch the spark in Sarah's eyes when I play this, because I'll guarantee you that you remember this. Hold on a second. It's another one of those exciting moments where I'm Googling something live on the air.
It is very exciting.
I'm not even Googling it. I'm
play a song.
YouTubing it. Thanks. Can we just fill all the dead moments in the show today with this? All right, here we go. Let me cue this up. You just let that play for a second.
My blue suede shoes. Daddy, look at this.
That's
and he's got that fake Michael McDonald, rasp to his voice.
Okay, so what
I hate this guy so much.
He's talking about this slideshow. Every word, so if he says board of the plane, they show a slide of a plane.
Show the plane.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there's another the plane back.
That's real expansive thinking is what that is. Fantastic. What did we do before YouTube?
And then they showed Beale Street on a sign just there.
We're going a little over here, but it doesn't really matter. All right.
A little trivia for you. MTV purposely...
One of these songs all have to mention Elvis, yes?
They purposely made their videos unlike the words so they wouldn't cloud your mind with... They wanted you to think your own thoughts when you heard the song. So
yeah, MTV's all about you thinking your own thoughts. You're making that up.
No, it's true.
I'm pretty sure security guard.
All right. Okay, we've been talking, for whatever reason, because of Scotty's Vertical Horizon comment. And I'm really... I'm not glad Tim is gone as such, but really, I have been wanting to talk about this for a long time. Because this is, you talk about being in my wheelhouse. Stuff like this is the reason this show exists. This is right here. All right, Sarah, how about this one? Now, there's almost no intro on this before the lyrics kick in. So I'm just going to play a little snatch of this and see if you catch it. We've been talking about songs from the 90s that only I remember.
Is this like Kiss the Girl?
Yes, it is. What a great song. Jill Sobule, Kiss the Girl. You know who's in the video?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. I love this song. She sings the Wix jingles now.
It isn't Katie Lang, is it?
No, I don't think so. He's such a hairy behemoth, she said. This is the best song. Jill Sobule, let me just tell you this right now. Straight up, no fooling. I have this album. It's badass. It is. That's maybe not the right word for Jill Sobule.
It's badass.
Wow, no, it's a beautiful album. She has written... Jill Sobule wrote this song on this album that no one has ever heard because no one bought the record except for me, and she never released a single. There's a song called Houdini's Box on here, which is one of the most beautiful songs I have ever heard in my life. But again, it's a record that like no one ever bought. But a bunch bought. The only other single she ever had was Supermodel from the Clueless soundtrack.
Oh, I love that song.
God damn, do I sound gay. But let's...
you really do.
Okay, but do you realize... You are so lucky, Sarah, that you grew up when you did. Do you know that this song was preceded by a warning announcement when radio stations would play it? Radio stations would play this, and they would have this stupid disclaimer that they, warning, the following song contains subject matter that some listeners may find objectionable. Because it's like her kissing a girl.
And I opened up and I told her about Larry and yesterday how he asked me to marry.
Weird looking, but she's kind of hot and creepy girl kind of way.
I knew you'd think that.
Well,
she's got a funny looking.
She's got a unique look.
They all sound like Suzanne Vega. You know that?
Totally, I can see that. Wait, here we go. Hot as balls.
I kissed a girl.
I love it when she was just like kissing me, but better.
Yeah. It's Fabio, ladies and gentlemen. That's who's
in the
piece.
Oh, yes.
Fabio plays Larry, who is dumb as a box of hammers, but he's such a handsome guy.
All right, can I take us to break with the quintessential one-hit wonder?
Yeah, but let me just say, first of all, if you don't have Jill Sobule's debut CD, you really ought to pick it up. It really is beautiful. And again, the next time you hear the Wicks... isn't that a furniture place, Wicks?
Yes.
Next time you hear the Wicks jingle, listen, it's Jill Sobule. You know, next time you hear the Wicks commercial playing, listen to who sings the jingle. And let me just finally make this observation. Well, never mind. I'll do it later, because Scotty's going to stay here. We'll come back. Scotty J in for Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth at the noon news hour later on. Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and more of your phone calls. It's 5:00. Oh, come on. No, you can't. We never stop. You can't just play us into break with this.
That's a good one.
Oh, come on, Lisa Loeb, stay. And you know how she got that gig? You know how the song ended up in the Reality Bites soundtrack?
No.
She was Ethan Hawke's neighbor. Ethan Hawke lived, like, near her, and I guess saw her play at some local, like, a coffee house or whatever, and probably was putting it to her. That would be my guess, because she's hot. And then he balls. Yes, and he went to whoever, and he's like, hey, my neighbor sings this great song called Stay. You got to put it on the soundtrack. Number one for 9 weeks, that song was. Number one for 9 weeks. Never to be topped ever again. She put out a whole, she's another one, put out a whole series of records with very fine singles that no one cared about.
Yep.
She's good, though, and she had a show just recently.
You know the big problem that she made? Here's the mistake she made.
Hmm.
It was those cat-eye glasses.
Yes.
That, it's like her and Kennedy.
She niched herself.
Totally. That's exactly, you wear those cat-eye glasses, bam, Alternative Nation. This, you know, it's like your career is sort of sealed and tagged, do not open after 1995. Which is too bad, because this is a beautiful song. Okay, let's play. Go into break here. We'll come back. Scotty J around the corner. You stay right there.
You say I only hear what I want to. You say I talk so all the time. So and I thought what I felt. Don't belong. And
It's the Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Don't forget, 7707 coming up this Saturday. We're going to be at Outlaws Music Hall. That's outlawsmusichall.com. Vanilla Ice performing this Saturday and giveaways every 7 minutes. So you want to be getting it. I just cut myself again with the same pen.
Put the pen down.
Do you remember how on Friday I mangled my finger with this pen? I just now cut my thumb all the hell with this pen. And I love this pen. Why doesn't the pen love me? Why does the pen hate me so? So that's Vanilla Ice this Saturday. You want to be getting your tickets for that now, because as they say, they are more at the door. So 7707 coming up this Saturday. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, in for the one and only Tim Riley, the intrepid Scotty J at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Scotty J from the CBS Newsroom and the Rick Emerson Show. Good afternoon.
In Miami. To say, hello. Hi.
Good afternoon.
We just talked to you 5 minutes
ago. They all ran out of the room.
All right.
Don't know where they went.
Okay.
In Miami, a Maryland man was rescued early Monday from the ocean off Florida.
A Maryland man.
Man needs a knee.
Let's try that again.
Every time we do the news, I can't get through it. All right, so here we go.
Bleeding quite a lot over here.
Bleeding?
What are you doing? Try again.
Okay,
a Maryland
man in Miami. It must be Maryland County or something like that. He was rescued early Monday from the ocean off Florida after he reportedly jumped from a cruise ship. The Carnival Liberty alerted the Coast Guard around 11:35 p.m. Sunday that Scott Duran, 29, of Rockville, M.D., had possibly jumped overboard.
M.D. I think M.D. actually Maryland. Does stand for Maryland, especially because you indicated earlier he was from Maryland. Seems like you had all the information that you needed to really puzzle that out.
It's hard to think and read. He jumped overboard, okay? Uh-huh. And the reason why he jumped overboard, a little bit more in the story. He fell 36 feet into the water, 50 miles off the coast of Boca Raton.
Uh-huh.
A crew aboard the Liberty threw life rings out, and they pulled him in. The judge said Duran was being examined early Monday, but he did not know if the man had suffered any injuries.
He fell or jumped?
Apparently he jumped.
You can't just, yeah, I was going to, well then what? Okay, well,
and
whatever.
I am looking to see if there were reports of alcohol.
Well, we'll wait while you look. You just take as much time as you need.
Off the cuff. No reports of alcohol.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate that.
Meanwhile, in Houston, a teenager who survived a brutal pipe beating and later testified before Congress in a support of hate crimes bill died after jumping from a cruise ship into the Gulf of Mexico.
Are you just reading the same story again?
No, this is a totally different ship.
A different cruise ship.
Yeah,
jumping.
Two things happened this weekend. Officials with Carnival Cruise Line said the 18-year-old jumped Sunday morning from the Ecstasy cruise ship off of the coast of Mexico, and I'm just looking to see.
This is the depressing squalor cruise line. This is the suicidal. Thing. Now it's catching. Now I can't be funny. All right,
suicidal. Okay, let's get serious. This is the news hour. Richardson nearly died in April of 2006 at a party in Houston when he was beaten, stomped, burned with cigarettes, and sodomized with a plastic pole of a patio umbrella. And
what kind of party was this?
His attackers had poured bleach on him and left him for dead. This same kid was on a cruise line and he jumped, so he couldn't take it anymore.
Another cruise line?
See, that's what I'm saying.
There's two cruise line stories. First one is on a Carnival cruise line, the Liberty.
The second one was?
And he jumped, and I thought it was related to, drinking. I'm pretty sure of it. The second one, he survived a brutal beating and then went on this cruise and jumped and died. Suicide.
Thanks for being a big pick-me-up here at the top of the hour.
All right, well, moving right along.
Go back to playing Walking in Memphis over and over and over again. Jesus, God. Hey, by the way, since we're talking about the since we're talking about jumping to one's death, let me just say that I saw a really great but chilling documentary this weekend. I saw, when we talked about this one movie when it came out, I saw that movie, The Bridge, this weekend, which is a documentary about the phenomenon of people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge to their doom.
And you told me about
it. It's a great movie. It's disturbing, though. I would say that it's you really should watch it. Because it's a really well-done film, and it really is very gripping, but goddamn is it creepy. Because what the guy did is, the guy went to the Golden Gate Bridge, and he sort of was a weasel, because he kind of lied about it. He went to the Golden Gate Bridge Committee, and he's like, hey, and I think on his application, he said something like, I want to mount some cameras so I can, you know, so I can film the intersection of architecture and nature as it unfolds, or whatever. And the Golden Gate Bridge Committee was like, well, sure, fine. And so he set up all these cameras around the Golden Gate Bridge, like digital cameras, and just let them run for a whole year. And, you know, two people a month jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. 24 people a year.
I had no idea.
As an average.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
for real.
It's true. No, every other week someone jumps off the Golden Gate Bridge. It averages 24 suicides off the Golden Gate. It is the single most, if you want to say popular, single most popular suicide destination in the world. And so, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so he sets these cameras up for a whole year, and his cameras captured 23 of those 24 suicides. And the other one, I think it was just fogged in so much that he couldn't. But of the 24 people that jumped off the bridge that year, this guy's camera captured 24 of them. And so what the documentary, I don't mean to be all morbid about it, but what the documentary is he goes and it's him talking with the families and friends of people who have taken their lives by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. But then interspersed with that is footage, like if he's talking to, whatever, here's like John Smith who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. So it's a lot of interviews with John Smith's family about, like, did you know he was depressed? How did you find out? What led up to it? Interspersed with footage of that guy on the bridge. And the creepy thing is, a lot of people, they say just before they jump, just stand there for 20, 25. There's this one guy named Gene they track all the way through the movie. And, you know, as it turns out, of course, that he jumped. But he apparently just stood on the bridge, just sort of looking over the side and kind of pacing for like 45 minutes. And all through the movie, they keep showing this footage of him pacing back and forth on the bridge. And then, you know, and the movie starts, actually, with a whole montage of people just walking over the bridge. Because people walk across it or bike across it.
That's just unnerving.
And then the opening credits start with a bunch of people standing and, like, taking photos. And then one of the guys in the opening montage, it's like people walk by, people walk by, people walk by. Somebody takes a photograph. Somebody's biking. Somebody's looking out over the bridge with their kids. Somebody walks by. And then there's one guy. He walks by and he kind of looks around. And then he jumps up on the railing and, like, bam, off the bridge.
They should hire someone to walk.
It's a really great movie because it's very straightforward. There's no, like, new age babble about suicide, and there's no, like, sort of psych 101 crap. It's just a whole lot of, like, well, here's the deal, and here's what he was like, and then they'll. But it's really, you should be prepared if you watch it. That it's like they're gonna show you a bunch of people, like, jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. It's freaky. It's really great, but it's
what's it called?
It's called The Bridge. I mean, it's just a really unnerving documentary. It was on it was on IFC, and I think it's out on DVD as well. So, all right, so there you go. So it's a whole lot of fun.
Seems like they should hire somebody to, you know, one on each side of the bridge to walk up and down as a job. It wouldn't cost that much just to talk to people. Hey, buddy, don't.
Well, I guess this one, they open it with this woman saying, well, you know, those are even on the Hawthorne Bridge. There's that sign like, don't kill yourself, please.
With a little flower.
I don't even think you can kill yourself by jumping off the Hawthorne Bridge, could you? I mean, I guess you'd drown, but I mean, the impact's not going to kill you.
I don't think so. It doesn't seem that high.
Because the Golden Gate Bridge, I think it's like the impact itself just like kills you. I mean,
way up there.
Although they interview one guy who jumped and lived.
I didn't mean to.
Off of the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, he's like one of the only people who's ever jumped and lived. And he said, like, he's like, as soon as I jumped, I realized it was a bad idea.
As he was falling.
But even him, it like smashed up his vertebrae and whatever. But this woman at the beginning, how creepy is this? She said she was there like taking a picture with her kid. And she's taking a picture of her daughter. And she notices as she's looking through the camera lens that, like, well, there's her daughter that she's taking, but in the background, look, there's a guy jumping up into the railing. Oh, look, there's a guy who's just jumped off the bridge. And she goes and she tells the guy, like, in the little bridge box, or the guy who works on the bridge, she's like, hey, somebody just jumped. And the guy's like, okay, I'll call the cops. And she said she asked him, she's like, does this happen frequently? And the guy, just without even looking at him, said, all the time. So I guess it's literally every 14 days someone jumps off the bridge. It is the most popular suicide place in the world. It's just freaky. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
Yeah, in the 30s, 28 people died building it, but 19 were saved due to the nets that they put up, and they called it a club, the Halfway to Hell Club. Just a little trivia.
Where? On the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yes.
You're making that up.
No.
All right.
I'm a newsman.
Okay.
Today. Okay, in Seattle, Springfield has come to Seattle. A dozen 7-Eleven stores around the country, including the one on Denny Way near Seattle Center, turned their store into a Quickie Mart to promote the premiere of The Simpsons movie. As seen on the Fox TV show, the Seattle Quickie Mart is selling many of the products, such as Squishies, Buzz Cola, and Krusty O's cereal. But an employee at the store says
Krusty O's.
Duff beer is not on its shelves.
Yeah, but see, no one has adequately explained, or splained, as they say in the internet, why it is that Portland didn't get one. I mean, why should, seriously? I mean, if not here, then where?
Doesn't make sense.
It's a travesty, and I'm not going to sit and dwell about it, because, you know, whatever. What's done is done. I'm just saying it seems wrong that Seattle, and like, where, does it have the list of the other cities that got Quickie Marts?
No, but it might be in the sounder.
Do we have a soundbite?
Yes, we do. It's called SEA.
Here's the soundbite.
Go!
Really? That's the soundbite.
Yes. So I don't
Let's play that one more time. Just make sure I haven't missed anything. Go! That's wonderful.
Apparently, they didn't list them.
There you go. That's the soundbite for that. Thank you, Metro News Service. Thanks for that story. With more on this Simpson story, we have the...
All right.
Go! All right. Fantastic. Here's Scotty J. and for Tim Riley. By the way, this email says, Rick, quick question about Scotty. Is Scotty's job a paying position? Just curious, as I'm sure many of the other listeners are. Steve in Portland. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Thanks so much. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well.
What's up?
What's up with the feed?
Oh, yeah. The almost live stream will be delayed by many hours today.
Many hours? That's not going to work. How am I supposed to listen at work?
It's not going to work. It's Rick. It has to be. You know, I don't have an answer. Well, so the problem is that Scotty is the one who updates the Almost Live feed. So, Scotty, since you are in for Tim Riley today, what say ye about the feed?
I'll run in there every once in a while and try to get it.
When would you anticipate that there'd be a segment? And there's no wrong answer.
I'm going to try to run back in there during a break and at least get the first hour going.
So
and
would
we'll just keep working on it throughout the day.
Would ye say that during the next break, the feed will start updating?
Yes.
Okay, so, sir,
it
he's all pissed off. Like around 12:35, I would look for that, sir.
I forgot all
about
that.
Okay, because I'm refreshing my browser every 5 minutes.
Well, you can stop.
I need it.
You can stop refreshing. I would look again in about 10 minutes, sir.
All right, better be there.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much. Bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that the Clackamas 7-Eleven has those crusty old cereal out there. I was there this morning. It was kind of
now. What are Krusty O's in real life? Like, what is the real product?
I don't know. They're probably more like Cheerios, but the thing says the box says the product in the box does not resemble what is on the outside.
Oh, I see. So it could be like Malto Meal or something.
Yeah, it looked like Krusty with nuts and bolts and screws and everything else in the cereal. So
no, it's true. All right.
It's pretty freaky, but we've got it here.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
There you go. And we just don't have the full-on Quickie Mart, though, which is frustrating. There's no reason for that. All right, here's Scotty J. and for Tim Riley.
This happening in North Carolina, the prosecutor in the Duke lacrosse case has resigned from his post. Durham County District Attorney Mike Nifong announced his resignation before Superior Court Judge Orlando Hudson. However, the judge denied the county's request that Nifong's firing be put on record so he couldn't run for any other office again. And there
I
is
do not believe Mr. Nifong will ever be elected district attorney of Durham County or any other county.
Oh, that guy's toast. There ought to be some option in the ballot to have that guy taken out back and beaten with hammers. Let's do one more here, and then we'll... Sarah, have ye a 90s one-hit wonder to play us in the break with?
Uh-huh.
All right, fantastic.
This is one more. It'll have sound as well. This is out of Florida.
Oh, I wasn't...
Oh,
I wasn't,
mine is not.
Yeah, in your face. That was all me. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, feel that.
I didn't.
All right.
Local and federal officials are responding to a pipe bomb explosion at Downtown Disney in Florida. Corporal Susan Soto...
Downtown Disney, what a creepy... How creepy that Disney is so big that it's like its own world that they have a downtown.
Same thing's happening in California right now. They even have an ESPN restaurant there, and you can go to two different parks in the town. It's pretty cool.
Disney creeps me out, man. They really do. All right.
Corporal Susan Soto with the Orange County Sheriff's Office explains what a bike patrol officer discovered in a remote area of the attraction's parking lot.
Apparently one of their security guards heard a sound and went to check what was going on, and he saw that one of the trash bins had smoke.
All right. Yes.
It just kind of goes on a little bit more, that a pipe bomb exploded sometime after 12 a.m.
No
Eastern time. There were a few people in the area. Nobody was hurt. A trash can was damaged. And that's about it.
Thanks for conveying the news to Max. All right. By the way, this guy says Krusty Oats tastes like the old Quisp cereal. You know, I don't believe I ever had Quisp. That's a cereal that people reference. I don't think it's like Fruit Brute. I don't think I ever actually had it. All right. Here's what's coming up. More from Scotty J and from Tim Riley. Lisa Goddard's going to be joining us. Jim Roop and perhaps Peter Carlin. 503-733-2970.
Injected with a poison.
I don't even know what this is. Oh, this doesn't count.
Have you heard anything else from Chumbawamba?
No, but everybody remembers this. This isn't really obscure, but okay, fair enough. I do like this song.
At my 17th birthday party, I made them play this all night long.
I can see you doing that, too. I can totally see you. You have to play this 100 times in a row.
It's my birthday, that and Dancing Queen.
This is a great show. I don't think anything else these guys did sounds anything like this. I think this is, I think the only reason this was the one, you know, the reason was only his, I don't think anything, I think the rest of their stuff sounds totally different. But I say that not knowing because I've never heard anything else they did. All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show continues next. Sharp as pen is. I've nearly cut myself
down.
Three times.
Why are you just playing with it?
Right. The Rick Emerson Show. This was all prompted by Scotty's comment that the band sounded like Vertical Horizon. Now it's nothing but it's 90 songs that only I remember. It doesn't really count though. This is a great song. I know a lot of people who hate this song with a violent passion, though. I think Joni's one of them. I
can see Joni hating it.
I think Joni decreed this at one point the worst song that had ever been recorded. I do have to tell you, though, when this song came out, my friend Todd and I, at that point, were writing a lot of songs together. We kind of had a little duo. We played around town and whatnot. That was when I was living in Utah. And I think at this point, Todd and I decided that if we ever could have written a pop song, this is the one we wanted to have written. Like, we wanted, this was our model for about 6 months. Every single song we wrote sounded like this. We somehow happened out to thinking that this was the greatest song ever written. I see now the error of my thinking. Deep Blue Something, worst band name ever. You know why? Because it always sounded like it was a band name that you couldn't quite remember. What are they called? Deep Blue Something? Deep Blue Ocean? No, Deep Blue Something. Deep Blue Sea? No, Deep Blue Something. Deep Blue Aquamarine Gemstone? No, Deep Blue... Who's on first? It was just, you know, it was like all Miss Me kind of a thing. Broughton Bishop. 503-733-2970 is the phone number, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there. How are you doing today, Lisa? How are things?
Things are good, but you know, it's funny that Congress is gone. It should be an easy week. I'll tell you what, I could go for a margarita right now, but it's a little busy day here.
Here's the thing. If you decide to have a margarita, I won't tell anybody.
Okay, all right.
We will keep that our little secret, you and me and the many thousands of listeners. We won't tell anybody, though. We won't tell Laura Caviezel is basically what we're saying.
I don't know. Laura could probably join me in that. I don't know.
Well, between you and me, it might do her some good. I'm just saying, I think if Laura were to have, and I think Sarah will back me up on this, I think if Laura will, were to have two or three real stiff drinks before the workday began, I think she might be a little more amenable to certain things.
Well, I would say this. Anyone who is not an alcoholic, generally a margarita does help.
Yeah, it helps you become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Is what it helps with. All right, so let's see, we got a few things today. First of all, let's see, did you see this? This is from the Washington Post. I don't know if you saw this in the Washington Post. Senator Patrick Leahy, the Democratic chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, says that a contempt charge against George W. Bush and his administration is not out of the question if the White House refuses to turn over certain subpoena documents. Have you read about this?
Right, well, yes.
So I don't know if this has subsequently been updated or revised or retracted or whatever, but it's just, it does seem to be, I'm not saying any of these things are going to happen, but it does certainly seem to be that there's a lot of sabers at least being rattled and perhaps used at some point. I mean, it seems like the tone of contention between Congress and the White House is ratcheting up by the day now.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think probably this week I don't expect a lot of ratcheting just because everyone is spread to the four corners of the United States on their vacation/work week. But that's right. Basically what he's saying there is that they are ready. They could take the next step, which is going to court over this and filing, trying to use congressional power to say that this is in contempt of Congress's due process and Congress's legal abilities. And the issue, though, is that the president could very well fire back and say, give me a break. I don't have to comply with that. We're separate branches, separate and equal. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives you the ability to do this. And there we go into, can you say it, everybody, constitutional crisis.
Yeah! There we go.
It would be a crisis because it's not like anything would be burning or anybody would be like we would be missing. There would be nobody in charge. It would just be really a showdown.
Well, that's the best kind of constitutional crisis. Let me just tell you this. Here was the highlight of the entire 2000 election fiasco between Bush and Gore. The highlight of that was when I was watching Jeff Greenfield. Does he still work for CNN?
Jeff Greenfield, I haven't seen him in forever. I don't know.
I don't really know what's become of him. He's just sort of...
Question.
He's kind of nowhere to be found.
Huh.
Well, in any event, I remember watching Jeff Greenfield and his little dry erase board on television during 2000, and then when we were in, like, week, I don't know, 50 of the Florida recount fiasco, which is just one of the greatest times of my life, I remember him being on television and talking to... what's her name? Doesn't matter. Talking to some person on CNN. Anyway, and so they were talking about, you know, how there's a recount and the hanging chad and the whole thing. And Jeff Greenfield said, right now I have to tell you, we're in uncharted waters here, which was just fantastic. I mean, that just, even thinking about it now, just puts a little smile on my face. It's like thinking about the day that Paris Hilton got thrown in jail. It just makes me smile. So, anyway, so, you know, so I do love these sort of Mexican standoff that we get into.
Right.
Anyway, so I don't know, but that's probably not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen with that this week, probably.
I don't think so. Not this week.
All right.
Very, very unlikely this week. Because, like I said, everybody's gone. President Bush is up there in Maine with Pooty Poot. And there's really nobody, the wheels are not turning here in Washington.
Yeah, Pooty Poot will be, he's the new replacement member of Public Enemy. Do we have, is Barack Obama, has he raised more money than Hillary Clinton?
All right, here's the deal with this. This is a very tricky, this gets a little tricky. When candidates raise money at this point in time for the presidential election, they have two funds, and they can take the money they raise, and they can put it all in to use it for the primary, the battle against each other. Or they can put money in a fund for the general election. Now, why it is that it worked, they did it this way, I'm not sure. I don't know the history of this. But Barack Obama raised $10 million more than Hillary Clinton last quarter for the primary. overall, I believe he raised, if you put all their primary and general election money together, I think he was like $1 million ahead. But I think people are looking at that figure that he was $10 million over for the primary, because obviously that's what the battle is right now. That's really, you know, who's got the firepower, who's going to have more weapons and more ad money during this primary. And right now, Barack Obama is the winner in that contest.
Do you suppose that it just goes without saying between the two of them, that whoever ends up being the candidate will pick the other for the vice president?
No, I don't think so. And I think it would,
really?
I think a lot of experts would say it would be a mistake for the two of them to run together. Although I know there are many people in the Democratic Party that like them both and would like to see that ticket.
Now, what is the downside of Barack running with Hillary or vice versa?
It feels like a very liberal ticket.
Oh, well, do you think? I mean,
and so that it would turn off, especially people in the center, but certainly even those kind of moderate conservatives.
But I mean, don't you think that that's just ridiculous? Who are these people that say that? Give me names.
Well, you know, I'll tell you from my own family. I think that if, for example, if Barack Obama were the candidate and he chose Hillary Clinton or vice, first of all, can you imagine Hillary Clinton as vice president? First of all,
no, I cannot.
Hard for me to picture that, but let's say he did. I think that he would lose my mother's vote right there. And I think there's a lot. I think that Hillary obviously has her own kind of baggage that goes both ways. She has people who just love her and these people just hate her. So there's that factor. But I think if Hillary chose Barack Obama, I think that you would lose, first of all, you've got two people from Illinois, essentially, and from the North. You don't have anyone from the South. So you're giving Republicans who are struggling in the South right now, struggling in rural areas, you're helping them out by not really giving them a good rural or Southern candidate at all. And I think Democrats are going to need that kind of balance. But, you know, I could be wrong. You know, there could be such momentum for change and such a, you know, groundswell for Hillary and Obama, maybe. But it sure didn't feel like Hillary was reaching out to Obama at these past debates. It felt like she was really giving the nod to a lot of other people.
You don't think the number of...
Like Bill Richardson, for example, those folks.
You don't think the number of new voters that might be brought to the table by the presence of a black candidate or a female candidate is enough? First of all, it seems to me that anybody who's going to say, well, I don't know, she's just too liberal of a... I mean, they're not going to vote for anything containing Hillary Clinton in any way, shape, or form anyway.
Now, one of the two of those running for president, do you think adding the other as a vice president really brings that many more? I feel like both of them have the same excitement factor.
And yeah,
that the two
maybe.
Of them together add, you know, it's like... You know, you've got chocolate chip cookies and you add a different kind of chocolate chip. You know, I don't know. You know, it's just, I'm not sure that.
I suppose, but I got to tell you,
either.
and I don't want to wade into this contentious waters here, but when you say that Hillary and Obama running together, that it's too liberal, I mean, I don't think people use that term. But I think
you're part of the progressive media, right?
Oh, God, I hate that. That's the term. I just despise that term. I just despise that term with everything in me.
You know, I hope you're right. I wish people would look more at policy. Clearly, Hillary Clinton is a lot more moderate than people realize. She's become a lot more moderate, that's for sure, in her politics. But I think the fact is that perception is reality. You know, and that would be perceived. I think that a lot of those kind of Republican voters, the Republican voters who may have voted for Bush last time, certainly in 2000, who are mad at themselves for doing that, who disapprove of the president now, I don't know if you would get those guys with a Clinton-Obama ticket.
Maybe. I mean, because I would say...
diversity than that.
And this is the tip of a big conversational iceberg that we probably don't want to get into at this point, but I would say that really I think America as a country... I hate to even use the word liberal because that's such a loaded term. But I do believe that in terms of what people want from the government and don't want from the government, I do think we are a country of liberals. I mean, I really do. I think people...
Yeah, so the word is so misnomer, like when you talk about liberal arts, liberal thinking,
I think people,
as opposed to liberal politics, yeah, it has a lot of... And liberal could be a very positive word.
I think,
a lot of sense.
I think people want a social infrastructure that works. I think people want to be left alone to live their lives the way they want. And I think people want government to get off their backs. And I think, you know, and I do think, typically speaking, people just want to be left alone and they want the government to maintain a lot of the policies that they have now. But otherwise, they want the government not to tell them how to live their private lives.
But
I think
then their conservatives would battle for that ground. They would say, we're the ones that want smaller government. We're the ones that want less government regulation. But then we get back into the Jerry Falwell conversation,
yeah,
and with the religious right that kind of crafted the way the Republican Party went from the 80s, and that did become a more activist party in terms of what rights and abilities people should have. But there still are those conservative libertarians that are, you know, hardly on the left that are more on the right that say exactly what you just said.
Speaking of which, about social issues, because I want to get into a whole what is liberal, what is conservative. But did you see this thing about New Mexico now being mandated to grow their own marijuana?
What? No.
This just came out. Let me see if I have this here. And I always feel like I always feel kind of bad when I feel like I'm sort of blindsiding you with something.
No,
you're
informing me. It's great.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I should clue you in about something. There's a little code word that is used on this program to refer to the to marijuana or the intoxicating effects thereof. And for reasons that I can't even really remember now, the word informed on this program is used as code to refer to the state of being intoxicated on marijuana. And marijuana itself is referred to as information on this program.
That's perfect.
So occasionally I'll hear somebody call me and go, Rick, I spent the day just gathering information and now I am fully informed. When a listener of the Rick Emerson Show says that, and I don't remember why where we came up with that, but that's what that means.
Fantastic. I'm right on that page.
So, so here we go. This is, well, let me make sure that I'm getting some, this is a reputable source, but let me make sure that I'm sort of...
I see an AP story now, but yeah.
Yeah. It says, in a breakthrough decision, New Mexico has not only legalized medical marijuana, but is requiring the state to oversee the production and distribution.
Right.
New Mexico's health department has petitioned the state attorney general to see if employees could be charged for using the proposed system. But apparently the way they've drafted the law now, it mandates that New Mexico grow its own pot. Which is just fantastic. And again, I'll tell you this, I'm not even a pot smoker, and I'm not a medicinal pot smoker or any other kind, but I will tell you that this is fantastic because I love, as you know, I love the whole face-off that this is going to set up between New Mexico and the DEA. So that's
right. And here's the issue is apparently they have asked the health department is, and you tell me if they've ruled on this yet, but the last story I see is the health department has asked their state attorney general whether they could be federally prosecuted.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So this is certainly going to be contention in the future that we should be watching. All right.
What do you know about that?
There you go. See, the Rick Emerson Show fully informing not only its listeners, but you.
Fully informing.
All right.
Take your word for that.
Lisa Goddard, thank you so much, sister.
You got it.
Lisa Goddard on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. That was so perfect. She talked about getting information on that story. Well done. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What say ye?
Hey, I got a song for you.
Oh, we were sort of wallowing in this 90s one-hit wonderdom today.
What about Life is a Highway?
I think it's
Tom Cochran.
Tom Cochran, formerly of Red Ryder, best known for their hit Lunatic Fringe on the Vision Quest soundtrack. Yes. Also,
I remember rocking out to that in high school.
Yeah, sure you do. All right, excellent. Great suggestion, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley. Here's Scotty J in for Tim Riley today.
That's right, Scotty J in for Tim Riley. Back to the news. A woman has admitted to stalking a member of the rock group Linkin Park.
Who stalks Linkin Park?
I don't know, but they were on Saturday Night Live a couple weekends ago. It wasn't last weekend before they rocked. And their new album is great. I own it. Not really a plug, but anyway.
Linkin Park. Boy, you want to talk about just the metal equivalent of a boy band. You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't prove that they were assembled by their record company, like in a laboratory.
I really liked their first album.
I loved that song, Close to the Edge, or Closer to the Edge. What was that song?
One Step Closer to the Edge.
One Step Closer. That's a great song.
That's a good song. It's a song on the album.
And I like the stuff they've done with Jay-Z, I'll say that. In fact, it started with a fan mashup. There was a mashup of 99 Problems and One Step Closer, and then they did that whole, whatever, the
Meteora.
Fusion,
album.
It was called. Well, but they did a whole EP with Jay-Z, right? It was Jay-Z and Linkin Park. They did a mashup EP. That was great, like Numb Encore.
I remember that.
But God, that band just seems so... I'm not saying they are, because I don't know, but Linkin Park just seems so fabricated. They seem so formulaic, and just like they really were put together by an A&R guy, like in a boardroom somewhere. So, I mean, God bless them. God love them, their success and all, but I'm just saying, they seem really, really plasticky to me.
I'd recommend getting the new CD. I like it. And there's like five or six songs, and that's how I judge my CDs, if they're good enough to buy. If there's five songs on there, done.
You know, Linkin Park is just like so much hard rock now and so much so-called metal. And I know this makes me sound like an old guy that I'm complaining about today's metal versus whatever. But I'm really not, because it's just like there's so much of like mainstream hard rock and metal that just is just so un- hard. It's so un-metal sounding. It's just not... I don't know whether this makes me sound old or not, but I'm just saying it doesn't sound... There's so much of so-called metal just isn't heavy anymore.
Yeah,
it just doesn't... It's too pretty sounding.
It's poppy.
Here's, well, it's not even that it's poppy. It's just that it's too... Like, there's this band Chevelle. I think their poster is on the wall down here somewhere, because I think KUFO plays them. But it's this happens with all metal songs now. The song will start, and there's a lot of, like, duh, you know, whatever. There's just a big metal riff. And it's a lot of like, and you're thinking, oh, great, going to be a metal song. Fantastic. And then you turn it up. And then here's what happens with all of these songs. There's like a real heavy riffing for about 12 seconds. And then the chord fades out. And the guy comes on and he's doing the. And then he's doing some weird girly sing-song thing.
But later.
And then later they try to rock again.
Yeah, in the mid-song,
but it's like,
they'll,
you know,
just scream.
Every System of a Down song is like that. Every Chevelle, every... Oh,
with
God,
a piano,
Tool.
A slow
every,
piano.
Totally, every Tool song is like that, where they trick you into thinking it's going to be hard and heavy, and then they'll rock for like 20 seconds, and then the guy just alone in my walls of pain, you know? And, and I'm just like, what? You were rocking just a second ago. What happened? And is it that they all turn into... It all turns into like... Like, it all turns into, like, a bad Cure cover band about 30 seconds in.
Well, be forewarned, song number two on the new Linkin Park album goes like this. I'm not kidding. Clapping while they sing and rap.
Well, I have no problem with... Well, there's no... I have no problem with that. I'm just saying...
It's probably... I mean, it's not a bad song, but it's my least favorite on that.
I'm just saying one should either rock or one should not rock. Don't trick me into thinking it's a metal song and then turn into a girly man. You know what I mean? Just quit your bitching. Quit your bitching and play something loud. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's
hi.
It going?
What's up?
a song came to mind from 1992 by a band called Prong.
Prong. I remember the band.
Prove You Wrong.
I don't remember the single, though.
I think Prove You Wrong is the single. I was just watching it on YouTube.
Is it clean?
I believe so, since I remember seeing the video on MTV.
I remember watching Beavis and Butthead watch the Prong video.
Yeah, and they, if I remember correctly, I don't know if you were living here at that time, but they also played a song by a local band called Hazel. I remember that.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, excellent.
Was that just Drunk Keith who called you? Was that the Don Henley? Sounded an awful lot like him.
Don Henley. Oh, Tom Cochran. It's possible. I don't really know who Drunk Keith is.
He's a regular caller on the Marconi show.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
I stopped listening to Marconi and started listening to you. So.
Oh, now, sir. Now, we're all one big family here at CBS.
Oh, of course.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I don't know. All right, here's
that Drunk Keith guy's actually my friend's brother.
Really?
Yeah.
How sad for your friend.
I know.
My brother's Drunk Keith.
Is it constant?
We don't talk about it so much.
Is he constantly drinking, or is that just
I don't know.
He's no Sarah.
I haven't seen him in years. He doesn't have
a
problem.
He doesn't have a drinking problem like Sarah.
His glasses.
Sarah, I'm really concerned about you. Slam. Down goes the phone. F that guy. All right. Let's see.
So,
that should be your moment of clarity when you go to the AA meeting. I had a moment of clarity. It was when some douchebag called up and was giving me crap and then hung up on the first hour.
Before I had a chance to respond.
Here's Scotty J.
Okay, to clear out this Linkin Park story. Devin Townsend, a 28-year-old female, used to work for Sandia National Laboratories and gained access using their government computers.
Stalking Linkin Park.
Exactly, his itinerary and all that. And when they went to her house, they found pictures and all
hair.
Kinds of weird things. In our hats.
Swathes of skin. All right.
All right. Elton John is remaining true to his word. The pop superstar and close friend of the late Princess of Wales helped open and close the star-studded concert for Diana yesterday. It took place in London. He turned in a rendition of Your Song at the start of the show and played a three-song set that included Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, Tiny Dancer, and Candle in the Wind.
Tiny Dancer.
He reworked that song, Candle in the Wind, for Diana, you know, several years ago.
Here's the thing about Elton John.
He didn't write it for Diana, he wrote it for Marilyn Monroe.
He didn't, yeah, that's right.
But then he reworked it. You know, that whole thing was an accident, though. You know, when the family asked him to do something at Diana's funeral 10 years ago, they didn't ask him to do that. They said, can you sing something can you do a song kind of like Candle in the Wind? And he misunderstood and thought they wanted him to rewrite Candle and Wind. It was all an accident. Biggest selling single of all time.
I had that thing. My mom bought my sister and I both copies of that single.
You know, I hate that Diana version only because it's ruined that song. Because Candle and Wind is a really beautiful song. And I love the fact that it's about Marilyn Monroe, but I hate that because it's just been ruined the whole generation of people who now will only think of the Diana verse. And here's the thing. I love Elton John. I really do. We talked about
Elton John a lot today. You know what? Even during commercial breaks, we were talking about
him. I think
of the album I liked.
Elton John, I think you're thinking of the Made in England album.
Came out in 1994-ish.
I want to be around that, you know. I was made in England, that song.
I got to find it.
But, you know, the thing about Elton John is, Elton John, you want to talk about a guy that every American, every person on earth is required to own the greatest hits. Everybody on earth has to own Elton John's greatest hits at some point. It's like having the Eagles' greatest hits. Like, you got to have it. He bugs me when he does all these charity things, and I know that makes me a bad person. I know I shouldn't dislike him playing at the Diana concert because they were friends and whatever. I know I should not be irritated by that. I just kind of am for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's because it just seems...
They're from the same region of the world.
I think it's because he just seems like such an attention whore, you know, in some ways. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying he is. I'm not questioning his motives, but I'm saying it does come off that way sometimes. Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not questioning his motives. It would be wrong. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't friends.
Yeah, I never watch anything that he does. All I like is I appreciate his music because I don't want to see him as a person.
Oh, he's a dick. He's such a... Have you ever... Well, of course you haven't. That documentary, Tantrums and Tiaras.
No.
It's the best thing. There's a documentary about him called Tantrums and Tiaras that I believe his partner made. I believe his husband or whatever, his partner many years, who's a filmmaker, made this documentary, Tantrums and Tiaras. Just a bastard. I mean, just like a raging, angry queen about everything. I mean, and then you read his biography, and he just spends an inordinate amount of time talking about his favorite foods to vomit up when he was bulimic. My favorite thing was to have a big basket of fried clams. Then I'd vomit it all up. Fried clams were my favorite thing to vomit. Spends a lot of time talking about what he liked to throw up when he was... But you want to talk about a guy who... I mean, say what you will about Elton John's private life or his personal life or the way he acts toward people or his sort of some of his habits that he's had. You cannot say a damn word about that guy in terms of music. I mean, there's only a handful of guys like Elton John in the world who have... I mean, we could sit and list Elton John songs that everybody knows, and you get into, like, the, you know, dozens of them. I mean, there's only a few guys like that. There's Paul Simon, who's written dozens of songs that you know. There's Brian Wilson, who's written dozens of... I would say John Fogerty from CCR, who's written dozens of songs you know. Elton John, but probably not too many other people.
Yes. Prince and Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Prince. Prince and Michael Jackson. Well, probably Madonna. I would say Madonna.
I don't know if she write all the songs.
Well, she co-writes, but I'm saying in terms of, you know, artists who have dozens of songs you know, Elton John stands almost alone. I mean, you think about the number of Elton John songs you know by heart, and it's just staggering. I mean, even if he had written can you imagine if he'd only ever had just a handful of singles? Your song, Benny and the Jets, Rocket Man, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting Crocodile Rock. That's like five number one big-ass hits right there. Most people go their whole careers never have five hits like that. And that guy is still churning out his songs.
Yep, and one of my most favorite CDs, believe it or not, is the one I finally thought of, The Big Picture.
Yeah.
Came out like in 94, and there's like several hits on there.
He still puts out new music. You know, Elton John has, I think he's had a top 40 song something like every year for like the last 35 years. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, Elton John, he just has some of the most amazing material. Favorite Elton John song? Sarah, go.
Mine is Tiny Dancer.
Beautiful song. Beautiful.
And I love singing it. I have good memories associated with that song.
It's a great song. Scotty J, favorite Elton John song? Go.
Well, that's hard for me. I'm just going to say Pinball Wizard. It's not my favorite, but I like so many songs that
His version of Pinball Wizard from who?
We were listening to earlier, I Want Love. That is one
with
of
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love it.
I want love. I'll go with the old school. I'm a big fan of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
That's a good song.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Really?
They went to see Elton John. They had saved up their money when they were younger and went to see it. And he threw one of his hissy fits.
Of course.
And at the end of the show, everyone was waiting for
encore song.
Yeah, my mom was waiting. She'd like gone to that show to see it, and like somebody threw something on stage. She's like, you know what? I'm just not going to play that.
Bastard!
And my mom has hated him since that day.
Yeah.
Now is he still in Vegas or is that over with?
I don't think he was in Vegas at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
He really was.
Celine was on vacation or whatever.
Oh, that makes sense.
Did he?
I don't know.
I could see that.
I'm telling you, I wanted to see Celine, and you guys don't like her. I don't know why. She has another billion hits. She has a million hits.
She sucks.
And the shows are sold out because
Celine Dion is like Mariah Carey to me, though. She has a million hits, but the average person probably couldn't name more than one or two of them. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, Celine Dion, and I'm not, and maybe you'll be able to answer this. I'm just saying I couldn't. Except for My Heart Will Go On, I don't think I could name a single Celine Dion hit. Scotty, go.
Well, obviously.
See, you don't. You don't know.
No, obviously, My Heart Will Go On. I mean, that's,
other than that,
said that.
I'm okay. saying, other than, don't Google it, other than you're Googling it right now.
Yeah.
Other than My Heart Will Go On, what is a Celine Dion hit song? You don't know. She's
I
a,
do, though.
No, you don't, because she's a bland,
hits.
She's a singularly bland entertainer. That's the thing about Celine
True,
Dion.
True, they all sound the same.
She supposedly has all these hits, but I don't know anybody that can sing one. Sarah?
I don't know any Celine Dion songs except for the...
And it's not like Sarah's not a pop music fan. She is.
I bet you, though, if I started listing some of these, you would know exactly the song.
Yeah, but I'm not...
Yeah, but you can't.
That's what I'm saying.
You're cheating
you
now.
Can't.
I mean, you're looking it up.
You're looking it up.
Now,
but that's what I'm saying. You name another hit artist, I can at least name some of their songs, even if I can't sing them all.
Well, the funny part is she has, like, 50 top
She doesn't.
Hits.
They're fake. That's what I'm saying, though. It's fake. That is chart. That is shenanigans on the charts. I'm convinced of it. Because... if she really was that big of a star, if those were legitimate hits and not like record industry shenanigans of screwing with the charts, which we all know happens,
okay,
then people would be able to sing those songs. All I'm saying is, you say Mariah Carey, Michael Jackson, Madonna, anybody else of her ilk, I can name you 10 songs they've done. I cannot name you a single Celine Dion song other than My Heart Will Go On.
But if I named them, you go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh
Shouldn't
yeah.
Shouldn't I be
oh,
able
yeah.
to think of one, though, is my point.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just, are we good? Do we got a break here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's break. Scotty, why don't you just stick around and we'll just continue to do whatever here.
Okay.
Because we're so, let me just play us into break.
No, 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 you're not. It's my turn.
Oh, fine. Fine.
We've already discussed
I was going to play Yellow Brick Road and dedicate it to your mother.
Oh.
Okay.
That's the funny part.
Okay. Stomp on my tiny paper heart. See, how do you talk to an angel?
This is The Heights.
Okay, I'll give you $5 if you know where this opening is stolen from.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like another song that I know.
Yeah, it's completely stolen.
Oh, Life. From Life.
No.
Yes.
No.
And it's really weird because it's put to a Jean-Benet Ramsey picture collage.
Creepy. Somebody go check that guy's house.
Do you know which Live song I'm thinking of, though?
Nothing. Oh, no, no. It's nothing but Jean-Benet Ramsey photos. Oh, go search this guy's crawl space right now. Creepy.
That exact guitar sound is in a Live song.
It was stolen from something else before that.
It was getting super close to her picture. Oh my God, she's singing now.
It's John Mark Carr's website.
All right, the Live song was Alone.
Okay, but it's stolen from
I Alone. No.
All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Your phone call's next. Oh, is this me right here? Excellent. Let's.
That's a good one.
This is a perfect talk radio bumper, too. Our phone lines are open. Oh, I forgot it had this elongated.
Pine Melon? Am I right?
Can anybody name the band and the song?
I guess not. I know these guys.
These guys
too.
Are such a David Bowie knockoff. Could they be any more Bowie?
It's not Blind Melon.
Or Bowie.
I can't remember.
I know who these guys
are. Big hook here. By the way, this is why kids become rock stars. The singer from this band and their one big hit, now married to Liv Tyler. So all it takes is to be moderately successful. That, do you know it now?
Yes, no, I know it. Oh, crap.
No one tells Sarah the answer.
Name. It's a really weird name.
It is a weird name. It's like you think it's like an animal or something.
No, don't tell Sarah the answer. I want to see if she can come up with it herself.
No.
Because I don't think you ever will. I don't think it, not to impugn your 90s knowledge, but this is exactly the kind of band I'm talking. They fall through the cracks of your mind and you completely forget about them.
Starts with a G?
No. No, and you're not Sarah. Wait, big hook here and then we'll get Jim Roop. This is such a 90s sounding band. That full on Stone Temple Pilots guitar tone.
Okay, I got it, but I'm not going
to
say it.
It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Jim Roop. How you doing, sir?
Happy 4th of July. Oh, wait, we're not there yet.
No. Are you working on the 4th, sir?
Yeah.
God bless you, so are we. We'll talk to you then. All right, well, a couple of things. Is somebody texting you the answer?
No. I didn't realize that he did. He did.
Oh, come on.
Squid.
I told you not to. Oh, you should have known when you picked up the phone.
No, because I just wrote to my next door neighbor because I'm getting all of it. Everyone's sending it to me.
You sons of bitches. No one respects authority anymore.
Are you authority?
I am. I'm just saying it would have been amusing to see if you could come up with it. Space Hog, in the meantime, the name of that song. All right, so those who are, we're legally obligated to talk about. So what are they saying now? The defense is saying that Lana Clarkson shot herself?
Yeah, but there's no trial this week.
Oh, so wait, are they just making up news at CNN for you to talk about?
Yeah, I told them that there's no trial at all. Yeah,
why did they put that on the prep sheet if it's not happening?
Because CNN TV was talking about it, and so they figured CNN TV's right before I am.
Okay. Well, so there you go. Hey, let's talk about the iPhone.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, so all these iPhones that people bought aren't working. They're not working. They can't get activated. Did you know this? I didn't realize this with the iPhone. You have to be able to activate the iPhone online with Apple Computer before, like, even, like, the clock will work.
Yeah.
Like, nothing on the phone. Even the clock won't work.
That's why if you read the blog, they're calling it the iBrick. That's so great.
I'm just getting a cup of coffee there. The iBone is what it seems to be for many people right now. So what is Apple's explanation for that?
Well, it's not Apple's problem. It's an AT&T problem. Now, Apple's probably very angry that they've dealt with this exclusive thing with AT&T. But what AT&T is claiming is that it was sort of a server's overload that people were trying to activate. Now, you got it. You got to know.
Oh, that's such crap. How would you not know?
You got to know that they're going to sell 500,000 of these things on Friday, and people are going to. And if you're going to buy an iPhone, you're not an idiot when it comes to a computer. You're going to go online and activate it. You're not going to wait till Monday to call the office.
Seriously, I mean, what kind of moron would not, how would AT, whenever I hear that, well, there was an overloaded server, that always makes me angry because whenever there's a story where somebody's blaming a server overload, it's always some story about a product or event that they've been advertising for 6 months that we all knew was going to be the biggest thing ever. And if AT&T cannot keep an online telephone service, if AT&T can't keep their internet connection from crashing, really, what hope do we have for technology in this world? Seriously.
Also, the online user guide that you can download from Apple says that you can use the phone while it's being activated.
Uh-huh.
So if you get that error message that says it may take a while to complete your activation, but it's in process, you should still be able to use the phone. But people are blogging saying, hey, 15 hours, and I can't as much as set the clock.
I'm sorry. I know it's wrong to find joy in the pain of others.
Hey.
But just the idea of some idiot who camped out for 3 days to buy an iPhone. It's Monday, and he still can't get it to work.
Oh, man, I feel bad for those guys.
I don't. Screw them.
You know?
Also because...
And I'll tell you something. AT&T should not charge anybody for activation.
No, and did you see this? I mean, we all knew this was coming. There's some big story I read last night in the Wall Street Journal that said that, well, contrary to expectations, like, no one sold out of iPhones. Like, they're everywhere. You can walk into the store right now and buy one.
Yep.
I mean, in fact, the stock app answer that Apple has given all the people at the Apple stores, when you ask how many iPhones are left in stock, the answer they are supposed to give you is, we're not really sure. Because they don't want to say, like, oh, there's hundreds. There's hundreds in there right now. Walk in the back and you could buy 10 of them if you want. So it is a manufactured shortage that ended up not happening. And I'm not saying they didn't sell a lot of them. Clearly they did. And it inflated Apple's stock price by 40%, which is, I don't know that does really anybody any benefit in the long term, because most people at the company couldn't unload that stock. But, you know, so they sold a lot of these things, but I really honestly believe that we're going to look back on this and the hype will not have lived up to the reality, or won't have lived up to the hype.
Plus, I've heard a couple of things that people don't like about it. Number one, there's audio output but not video output. So while you get great video on that thing, you can't play it on your television.
Not only that, but it's got a video card and a camera, yet you can't actually take video with it.
Yeah, that's true. It's just still pictures.
Yeah.
You know, but it's 2 pixels, but it looks real good.
Yeah.
You know?
The other thing that people are complaining about is because this is not only frustrating but baffling, because the iPhone is effectively an iPod, yet you can't use MP3s as ringtones. You're still obliged to pay $3 to Singular for every ringtone you want. So
isn't it an MP4 format, isn't it?
M4P. It's the
M4P, whatever that is.
The proprietary iTunes format is what it is. So anyway, I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good product. I'm just saying it is. You know, it just seems like it's one of those, and Apple's very good at hype, but I'm just saying it does seem like one of those things where the reality has fallen a little short. That's just my theory, my gut instinct on this.
No, I hear you. I agree.
All right. Well, anything else going on that you should... Hey, did you ever get that O.J. Simpson thing I sent you?
Yeah, I did. Thank you. Yeah. I just this weekend was able to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's all kinds of creepy. And the weird thing is, it's strange to... I mean, I wonder who... There's been no revelation about who put that online, how it got out there, but it is very clearly the real thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it took, I mean, I really scrutinized it, you know, I mean, I went at it with, you know,
your journalistic integrity.
Yeah, you know, because it looked like it was too easy to get a hold of.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's written as if it is, it's real. I mean, I don't think anybody can manufacture that.
No, I mean, I got a guy who looked at it and worked for a publishing company, and he said that he does not believe it was scanned. Like, it wasn't some guy at a bookstore that, like, opened the box and scanned it. He said that from what he could tell, that looked like a scan of an early galley, and so he suspects it was leaked by somebody originally from inside the publisher.
Oh, probably.
Because there's a few typos and some misspellings, and he said he thinks that it's an early...
I didn't notice anything.
...non-proofread scan. I didn't either, but he said, you know, there are typos in here, so he said, I think this is a scan of somebody, of an early galley that somebody inside the publishing house released. So, and it's interesting how much it's kind of a non-story, you know what I mean? The O.J. Simpson book was like the biggest story in planet Earth, and now that it's sort of freely available on the internet, really nobody's talking about it. It's kind of weird.
Well, that's good, I guess.
I suppose. F him.
Yeah.
All right. What do you suppose O.J.'s doing right now? I mean, what does he do
every
day?
Got some white woman with him. I don't know. Playing golf somewhere.
Jim Roop who said that. What is he... Does he have a job? I mean, does he work for... He can't. Nobody would hire O.J.
No. I know he doesn't have a job, but he's got little scams and schemes that he has going on to feed him income. Now, they can't touch his NFL pension.
Right.
So he's still getting, you know, money from the NFL every month. So he's able to live and live very comfortably. Plus, he does have some resources. I mean, he made a lot of money that he has tucked away.
So he's just running like a three-card Monty table somewhere.
Yeah, and he's got somebody filtering that stuff through whatever trust that he can draw on. You know, who knows how all that's working out, but, you know, he's got the world by the ass on a downhill drag.
It is true.
If I were him, I'd just lay low and shut the hell up.
All right. Well, there you go. No better advice could
be
given.
He's out there looking for the real killer, so God bless him.
All right. Thank you. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Scotty J. and for Tim Riley. Rick, is Tim gone due to his despondency over the iPhone's failure to activate for a lot of people? Better check that squeaking sound coming from his shower curtain rod. Thank you, sir. No need to be morbid. All right. Let's... hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Uh-oh. Hey, is this me?
Yep. Yes,
all right.
It is. Hi.
How's it going?
What's up?
I just felt like it would be fun to try and guess what that bumper music was that you said was a rip-off of something else.
Oh, we're talking about The Heights, yeah. Which is a rip-off of Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, okay.
Were you waiting on hold for like 12 minutes to say that?
Yeah.
Well, like 20. Yeah. I'm glad I could take away your home automation. Well, that ship has sailed. You failed to do that.
As I used to do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye now. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Jeez, I don't want to be a downer after Roop was on, but yeah, the Celine Dion hoo-ha.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah, whatever it was. I know of two songs. One you actually talked about because it was a Steinman song that...
It's all coming back to me
it's
now.
It's all coming back to me now, yeah.
There you go.
And then there was that Chrysler commercial where she slaughtered and ruined the Roy Orbison song, Drove All Night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
first time I heard it, I thought, God, whoever did that needs to be hung. And then I found out it was her, and I was equally impressed that I had said they needed to be hung.
It's All Coming Back to Me Now is a great song. That is that really is a case of the song itself being so good it can't be ruined. I mean, that's...
Well, yeah,
you know,
that's because she didn't do it.
Yeah, it's true. All right.
Oh, and a 90s song?
Yeah.
Dog's Eye View.
I don't even know that I know that. What is Dog's
Eye
View?
Peter Stewart.
I don't think I know that song.
Yeah, you've heard it.
It's going to be one of those. You'd know it if you heard it. All right, we'll have to play it later. All right, Evan. Thank you.
Bye.
Hi. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Okay, first of all, God bless Jim Roop for... Well, he said something like, got him by the ass in a downhill drag.
Yes, sir.
Did I catch that right?
Yes,
that is freaking hilarious.
That's what he does. That's why he's the gold standard.
Oh, God bless him. And second of all, you know, Schadenfreude is always funny and right. That's my personal rule.
Yes.
And, you know, you were talking to Lisa Goddard, nay Sporbert, earlier about, you know, the double ticket of Obama and Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, and you were asking, why would that be such a big deal? And she was saying, you know, it's like too liberal. And then the immediate reaction in my mind was that Futurama episode where you had, it was the election one, and you had John Jackson against Jack Johnson.
Oh, right, you're right, and yeah,
when,
right.
You know, your tax proposal goes too far. Well, your tax proposal doesn't not go too far enough.
Was that the same episode that ended with Nixon getting a huge cyborg body and kicking
correct.
In the wall of the White House? Nixon's back!
That's correct, because Bender had sold his body for the titanium.
That's
and then
right.
Nixon got it originally.
Excellent.
And then lastly, for the 90s song,
yeah.
I don't know, this might be a little too mainstream, but I really wanted to fight these guys so bad, but Dishwalla.
Oh, Counting Blue Cars.
Yes.
Tell me all your thoughts on God. I hate...
Oh,
can I just tell you this? I
no,
hate...
they're a good band.
Oh, shut your mouth.
I saw them in concert. They're awesome.
Who's a Dishwalla? Who says that about Dishwalla? And what
does
that name
awesome.
Even mean, Dishwalla?
Was
they just sound like pussies.
Was there ever a song more obviously written to get laid?
Oh, no. Well...
I mean, that song
I mean,
was so
probably,
written to a particular demographic of
yeah.
girls who, you know, whatever, and, you know, and lastly, I definitely would like to fight Celine Dion. Nothing ever good came out of that person.
Fight she Celine Dion.
She is so wrong. She is everything that's wrong, soulless, and evil in the world today.
Right. Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go, and he's out. I'd like to fight Celine Dion. Who says that? I'm gonna fight her right now!
She infuriates people.
I hate her.
Like nobody else can.
Because, again, there's this sense that she's a fake star. And I don't mean fake like she doesn't write her own music. I mean, that can be said about a lot of people. But, I mean, no one knows any of her hits. And we had the guy finally point out the Meatloaf song that we remembered. But, I mean, she supposedly has, like, 40 number one hits or something. And
it's true.
Name one.
There we go again. I'm not thinking about
question?
Celine.
Seriously,
now.
Name a Celine Dion hit that is not one of the two that we finally came up with.
She had something about mountains.
Wait, hold on. I'll just sit here and I'll just.
I don't need popcorn for this. I don't popcorn and Celine.
I can't leave my family with a codpiece.
Mountains. Something about mountains. That was a hit.
Something about mountains?
Yeah.
You sound like John Edward. Is there somebody, does the person's name have a J in it? Was it sad when they died? Okay. Yeah, all right. Thanks, Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. We should probably take a break so we don't get behind. I'll play us in the break here.
No, you won't. It's
you
my
played
turn.
It. No, it wasn't.
No, you played us back.
I did not. What did I play us back with?
You did because remember you...
What
you,
was it?
I can't remember. You just played it.
No, because I wanted to play Elton John.
And then I played it in the break, and then you came back, because remember, it stopped and
I did
dead air for a second, and you're like, it's me.
I didn't have time to play anything else.
I swear you just played
what
a
song. What was it?
Well, somebody please call in and say what he
it
just played.
It was Space Hog. I'm just effing with you.
Okay, you're...
All right. Like, you're all angry about it. My turn! What the hell is this? Oh, I know this. What is this? I've got a terrible song to come back with, by the way. Boy, this
mean that
when you can't
that.
When you can't hire Green Day, you get these guys.
Looking around the house.
I have such a crush on this
who
guy.
Who is this?
Heading
I'm not telling.
Window and the door, searching for signs.
Is this like one of those than, like less than or better than or letters to?
You're close.
Is it like better than Ezra? Less than
it
Jake?
Is. Those isn't like
more predictable than other band. I don't even know the difference between those two bands. Letters than Cleo, whatever it is. Who is this? Letters to Jake? What are they called?
Better than Ezra.
Better than Ezra, I'm sorry. This is why the alternative era ended, right here. Because it's so indistinguishable. You know what it is? This is sort of like the trickster of your generation. Or this is sort of the I don't want to say enough's enough. This is the danger of your generation. Just some hair metal band that was indistinguishable from every other band around it. That's what this is.
You know, Green Day was right here with these guys.
No,
from
shut
this
your mouth about
that's
Green
when
Day.
They, their Dookie deal. They started that right during this.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, Green Day was infinitely better than all these other bands.
This is a good song. It was, anyway.
Well,
it's a song.
It's It sounds very generic to me.
They all sounded
like this. It wasn't at the time, though.
Did it seem distinctive at the time?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those songs that seem distinctive at the time sound really generic now. Like, you go back and listen to any Stone Temple Pilots song, and it just sounds so unbelievably bland and generic.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Sex Type Thing, which is still a pretty good song. All right, I'll be back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. Prelude. It's like the little Elektra Records thing they play at the beginning. I guess this must be a video from inside the, Here we go. This is clearly from some greatest video hits.
Say, de groovy?
I hate this song so much.
Say, de gorgeous? Ooh, la 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 la.
I was surrounded by people who played this song constantly.
How do you say?
Is this before your time, Sarah?
Lighty.
It must be. I don't remember it.
Ugh.
Going to dance.
Oh, no, it's not.
Going to dance. Going to dance. And have
this song just filled me with an unspeakable rage every time it would come on television. Every time MTV would play this, it is. I just felt my hands forming into tiny fists of rage. Ugh. Thank God that nature just sort of took care of these guys. Just sort of, they were evolved right out of the music scene. Even now it makes me want to hurl. This is the very definition of a 90s one-hit wonder. I mean, these guys never even came... It's that thing right there, too. I mean, they never even came within spitting distance of the charts after this. All right, that's it. We're not playing anymore. 503-733-29... I would just watch the video for Grooves in the Heart, and just more than anything, I just wanted Wolverines on Angel Dust just to charge the set and just tear them limb from limb. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get a couple calls, then we'll welcome a special guest to the program later on. More from Scotty J. Like it's a 3 Donna Mike at 7. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, what's up? You sound real into it, too.
Hello. Oh, that last song kind of just blew.
That's a terrible song. It's just the worst thing ever.
That was crap.
There's nothing. Let me just.
What's the horrible thing with C.C. Peniston?
Oh, not Damn, I Want to Be Your Lover. That's Sophie B. Hawkins. C.C. Peniston, I don't know.
So I remember it was same annoying.
I'm confusing her with Too Many Walls by Kathy Dennis.
I love that song.
Of course you do.
Too many walls have been built up between us.
Gay. Hello, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I think I've got some 90s songs here, and I just forgive me. I don't have the CDs in front of me, so these might not be.
I will never forgive you.
Okay.
We started, by the way, in case people wondering why it's become a 90s jukebox, we can get that covered in Charlie demographic. What was I saying? Oh, it's because Scotty J was making a Vertical Horizon reference not too long ago, and so that tripped us onto this whole thing about 90s one-hit wonders. All right, go ahead, sir.
Well, I've got three of them here. What about the Reynolds? They did Friends of Pete.
No, I've got nothing.
Nothing, okay.
No.
And the other two, I cannot remember the names of the band, but there was that song, I Got a Girl.
Oh, the Flaming Lips. I Got a Girl!
No, it's not the lips.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, I'm thinking If She Don't Use Jelly by the Flaming Lips. I know who you're talking about, though. The I Got a Girl.
That was called I Am an Elastic Firecracker.
But it's just a whole lot of, like, whiny college rock. It's like, I know guy, he's in a band, they suck. Yep. Yeah, I know that song.
And the other one was Not an Addict.
Oh, by Reliant K?
I like that.
I forgot. I haven't thought about that forever. That one's held up. You're turning into an old person. You're turning into me. Well, that one still holds up. Poison sounds completely contemporary. Their sound has not dated at all. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, bye now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Got some 90s one-hits for you. I was thinking Wallflowers, That One Headlight.
Well, they suck, and we try to pretend they don't exist. Sarah especially. Sarah tries to pretend that band doesn't even exist. I just think they're bland. Sarah actively hates them. I just think they're bland. I will tell you, they ruined a great David Bowie song, though. They sang Heroes and just completely destroyed it. They were like, you know what they were? I don't know what the Wallflowers were, but they were the opposite of a Spice. It was like you'd pour the Wallflowers onto a song, and it just immediately had no flavor. A song that even might have been great, just a little dash of Wallflower makes it completely tasteless. I mean, it was the opposite of cayenne pepper.
And say what else? Stoned by Cracker.
I don't even. Low is the song you're thinking
low,
of.
Yeah, okay. And
I
then,
love that song.
What is that? Snow with Informer.
Oh yeah, Informer.
And then Ace of Base.
Ace of Base. I think they've had many hits, sir. Let's not forget their follow-up, Beautiful Life. All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye now. All right, thank you. Let's.
She thinks finally that finally who? It's happened to me. CeCe Peniston. Really,
I don't even know that I know that song.
I found a video of a cute little gay boy dancing to it.
Okay, let's play it now. Let's make this his intro music. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the floor, CeCe Slaughter's our good friend, the original Harry Scary Guy, Clyde Lewis. It's a conspiracy.
I'm just kidding.
Is that your Fred Schneider?
Yeah, that's my Fred Schneider.
Oh, he's in bikinis. Charlton Surfboards. Let's rock. Wasn't a croc, but a croc hunter.
Okay.
Clyde Lewis, hello, sir.
How you doing?
I don't know. This is either really good or really bad, this whole 90s one-hit wonder thing.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that, you know, there are ones that stick in your head a lot from the 90s. Like, for example, that one by,
that guy.
Well, there's Rock Me Amadeus. There's Rock Me Amadeus.
That's not from the 90s.
Isn't that the 90s? I thought it was the 90s.
Dude,
is that the 80s, really?
Did you wake up in a cave with a long beard somewhere?
I must have. Do I look like a rabbi?
Remember that song from the 90s?
That Rock Me Amadeus song? That wasn't from the 90s.
Remember that Little Brown Jug song?
There's that.
It's cool, I want some man. Yeah.
There's a lot of anime videos.
Hold on, I gotta listen to this for a second. I don't even know what this is.
That's my special
this is,
K.
This is K's Choice, not an addict.
Oh, that was Reliant K.
No, Reliant K is a punk band.
Oh, see, I don't even know.
Yeah, this is the one that they're talking about.
All I know about K's Choice is they played at the Brass, or whatever that place is on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They played there.
What about that Annie Lennox song?
She's not a one-hit wonder, though. That doesn't count.
Oh, it doesn't count?
Annie Lennox. No, she doesn't count.
Well, okay. I'm trying to think of 90s one-hit wonder song.
How about this? Who remembers this one?
Oh, my God. I've been thinking about you.
I've been thinking about you.
God.
We must have been so crazy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What about PM Dawn?
Now, see, we're exhausting them all. We've got to be playing these, Sarah.
Crazy.
What about cool songs like the Dead Milkman?
See, now let's not blow the whole wad right here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, now let me just make this observation about London Beat. This is, we have never had a gayer sounding program.
Communards, put on the Communards.
Let me say this about London Beat. Is it just me, or does it sound like this was a follow-up project by the Fine Young Cannibals?
Is it?
No, but I mean, wouldn't you believe me? But if I said it was, you'd believe me, wouldn't you? I suddenly have to search to buy a bath mask.
God, I'm flashing back to sixth grade.
I want to put little pink traction daisies in my bathtub.
Oh my God.
I used to have to play this as a DJ. Remember wandering the halls at night looking for food that someone had left behind that I could eat while this played? That's a terrible song.
Are we going to go back and forth now?
What year does Don't Leave Me This Way come out by the Communards?
I don't even know what that is.
I hate
is that one of your weird alt songs?
Oh.
Is this Set Adrift on Memory Bliss, or is this Looking Through Patient Eyes?
This is Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
1986.
All right. We're here with Clyde Lewis. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I was kind of hoping to talk to Scotty J before I made a fool of myself here. But,
really? Okay, hold on. Scotty J, someone is requesting to speak to you. can you jump onto the mic? Hold on, sir. We'll find Scotty J for you.
Hey, actually, I was going to ask you that walking with...
Are you
that?
Talking to me or Scotty?
Yeah, I'm talking to you,
okay.
I guess.
Well, Scotty's putting... Hold on. Second. Scotty's plugging in his headphones. Okay, hello. Scotty J is here.
Hey, Scotty.
Hello, Gresham.
No, this is Portland.
It's not going to catch on, Scotty.
What is your question for Scotty, sir?
I was just going to talk with him. You were talking earlier. I was working. I couldn't call in, but you were talking about some song, Walking with in Georgia or
Walking in Memphis. Walking in Georgia. Walking in Gresham.
Yes.
You said something about maybe a country singer. That's all I grew up listening to country music, and I was just curious what song that is to know if somebody
it's Mark
sang that.
Hone.
How does it go?
Are you talking about Walking in Memphis? Do you really
Walking
not know
Memphis.
That song?
No, if Scotty J would sing it for me, I would love that.
Can you pause this for a minute, Sarah? We have a request that Scotty J sing.
Now, why do I have to sing that song when we went through it like 8,000 times?
Because you're here to please the audience. You're here to serve the audience and entertain the people. And the people have decreed that you must sing.
I don't know the words. That's the sad part.
Sing for me, monkey.
Well, I was walking in Memphis, walking with my feet still on the street beat, whatever I said.
I don't even know the lyrics.
Walking in Memphis. Yeah, that's how catchy that song is to me.
I don't even recognize it. I don't know whether that's your bad singing or what.
She's playing it.
Although we'll play it for you. So.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues. In the middle of the
we've played this way too much today.
If Michael McDonald grew up, he'd
sound
like this.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Yeah. Fake-ass Michael McDonald ripoff.
Fake-ass Michael McDonald ripoff.
White as a boy could be. Yeah, see, it's all coming back to you now.
So he tried to be a Doobie Brother, but he didn't have enough snot in his nose.
It was disgusting.
God, I hate him.
All right.
Yeah, I recognize that song.
All right, there you go.
My favorite old song, Proclaimers, 500 Miles.
Oh, that's a great song. That's a great song. I defy anybody to tell me that they don't like that song. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, it's Whiteman.
Oh, it's the Justin the White Man. Hello,
yes,
Justin White
true.
Man.
Hey, how you doing?
What is the White Man's perspective on this?
Well, how about Fastball the Way?
Fastball. Boy, you wanted to... I'll take Elvis Costello clones for 1,000, Alex. Fastball the Way. Totally. Let me see if I can find that here.
And then also Fun-Loving Criminals, Scooby-Snacks.
I have that whole album. I have the Fun-Loving Criminals album. Yeah. Fun-Loving Criminals, Scooby-Snacks was their big hit. They had another hit called... just called Fun-Loving Criminal. The album was called Come Find Yourself, and they had this whole mafia hip-hop... rock persona thing going on.
Right,
not a bad CD, but boy, those guys just immediately vanished. And then they were like, we're trying to take it back to the club scene. And they just sank like a stone after that song.
Yeah, and then on the other side of the spectrum, Tony, If I Had No Loot.
I used to work with a DJ who called them Tony Tone, is how he referred to them. Here's the thing about that Fun Loving Criminal Scooby Snacks video. If you watched... Is that
Proclaimers?
Oh yeah. Can you pause this for a second? Because otherwise I'll start doing the lyrics to this. The thing about that Fun Loving Criminal Scooby Snack song is, if you watched it on MTV, MTV would bleep out the phrase Scooby Snacks, and because apparently that's a reference to drugs. That is a reference to the mushrooms. And so they asked MTV, they're like, why are you bleeping out the reference? Because the line is. Running around robbing banks all whacked off of Scooby Snacks. And so MTV said, we're bleeping the word Scooby Snacks because it's a reference to something illegal. Yet the line is, we're running around robbing banks.
Yeah, and then
all whacked up. But they left that in.
Shows they have an MTV too. You know?
Apparently grand larceny is fine, but don't go taking a drug. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Go on.
All right, do you have the that Proclaimers song?
Oh, I do.
This is a great song. Who could possibly dislike this? And they're twins, aren't they?
Yeah, they're freaky looking twins.
Totally. They look like little cartoon drawings of themselves.
Kind of like those cavemen from Geico.
Do you remember? How long until those guys put out a record album? You know that's coming.
Well,
you know the Geico cavemen record.
Yeah, that TV show coming out. Yeah.
Do you remember the movie this is from, Sarah? Don't answer. This is the hit single from the soundtrack too.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker.
Because he would walk. No.
I don't know.
These sound like fake accents. It's from Don Hollywood. Michael J. Fox.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a great movie, Don Hollywood.
Dr. Detroit, I was going to say, no way.
Dr. Detroit.
There you go. Let's play Dr. some Dr. Detroit.
Detroit.
Devo's Dr. Detroit.
We do sound old.
I am old.
Did you, where were in the alternative era, like 93, 94, 95, where were you working? What kind of format were you working? Were you working classic rock?
I was working classic rock. Yeah, 93, 94, 95. That was before I met you. Right when I met you, I was just getting out of I was just doing my time as a classic rock DJ, and I did it in the pink at the time. We're doing that Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz crap back then. Laser shows.
This is the catchy part right here. That's a great song.
You know, this is up there with Dexy's Midnight Runners.
I hate that song.
You don't
I
like
hate
Come On, Eileen?
Come On, Eileen. I hate that song so much. I hate Come On, Eileen, and I always have. It's not just that it's been overplayed. I hate... Have you seen the video for that? You talk about a bunch of guys who smell.
Yeah.
They... Just look at them, you can tell they smell. A bunch of guys with straw in their teeth, wearing bib overalls, nothing underneath.
Dexy's Midnight Runners?
That's disgusting.
It smelled like a late night bus.
I hate those guys.
Yeah. Hi,
Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
And hey, Clyde, it's Jesse.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, not bad.
All right, I got
a couple of songs for you.
Yes, sir.
Ski-Lo, I Wish, and Montel Jordan.
Oh, Montel Jordan, is that, This Is How We Do It? This is how we do it, yeah.
And then the Ski-Lo song. I wish I was a little bit taller.
I don't really remember that one, but I totally remember the Montel Jordan. Williams. I always get them confused. Montel, because how many guys do you know named Montel? Just those two. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good day. Shoot.
All right, take care. Thank you. All right, we'll talk about. I'll play one here. I'll play one into the break, Sarah, here in a second. Before that, Clyde.
Yeah.
Are you at Dante's tonight?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing there?
Well, I was going to talk about some things I've uncovered. You know, the CIA's released all their information and it's like a lot of this information pretty much is, I guess you could say, information that we all know. I mean, they were doing tests on people back in the 50s and 60s. They were planning on executing or they were planning on killing Castro. The Northwoods document was released saying that they would think about setting up a fake terrorist attack so we'd hate the Cubans. All these other things. I got to digging, I found some other things, and I compiled a lot of information. And Roswell, the 60th anniversary is supposed to be coming up. And I was supposed to go to Maury Island, do some investigating, but I wound up in the hospital because I'm an idiot, and I basically collapsed and was exhausted and wound up unconscious for 11 hours.
Idiot.
I know. But it is a long story to that, too. But anyway, so I'm deciding that I'm going to delay revealing the secret of what really happened at Roswell this week till next week.
Oh, bastard.
And for those of you that really want to know the truth, now this is, I'm not kidding you, and I threw it out at Rick today, and I threw it out at Sarah today as to what might have happened. It's a little bit more plausible, isn't it, that aliens crashing there, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is. You think so?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Look, dude, here's the thing. Okay. There have been five versions now of the Roswell crash.
Well, first
it was aliens, then it was a weather balloon, then it was something else, then they were crash test dummies, and I quit caring somewhere around region 3.
Well, okay, but the truth of the matter is that, people quit caring because it just gets to the point where it gets trivial. But I have got documents, okay? I have got ties to the Northwest, all right, talking about Washington, talking about Hanford, I got ties to all this. This is all leading up to what really happened at Roswell, and it's not just aliens. I mean, aliens are involved in some way, but they're not. Okay, we all are waiting for the aliens to land on the White House lawn because we think, hey, we've made it. The aliens
all of us.
Most people say, I want proof that aliens exist, and the only way I'm going to get proof is if they land on the White House lawn. Well, what if they landed, but they didn't land in a place that was friendly? You know, one of our enemies. Like,
well, they never do. They always pick some place where there's only one gin-soaked farmer walking around.
Not necessarily.
Let's land there. Well, no one will ever believe
him. Not necessarily. I mean, did you ever see the movie Contact?
Yes.
Okay. Just think of that scenario when they had first contact there in that movie.
Right.
It's a little hint about where I'm going with this. And how that developed into something that's far more sinister and far more frightening than the idea of aliens crashing at Roswell. Now, everybody's going to go and celebrate their little alien parties. They're going to eat their little green alien ice cream cones and have their little alien amusement parks.
What's an alien ice cream cone?
What the hell? Alien amusement park? I was in Roswell. They're going to have an alien. Did you know that? They're going to make an amusement park in Roswell. And it's going to be like alien-based. It's going to be an alien-based theme park, you know. They got the probing tunnel.
I was just going to say, does it just look like some guy's anus?
The probing tunnel, you know, and all that other stuff, you know, six pigs over whatever. Anyway, it's going to be over there in Roswell, and they're going to do this. It's all based on this alien event, when in reality, what really happened was something far scarier. And so I'm going to talk about that, not this week, but next week. So tell all your friends, this is going to be very, we're going to have visuals. We're going to have documents for the CIA and FBI. We're going to have all that there.
Is this just so the government has time to kill you?
I guess. I don't know. Okay.
Why are you waiting a week?
Seriously.
I want the Men in Black to show up.
I will reveal it.
I want the news to show up, because then I'm going to go to Maury Island like I wanted to back 2 weeks ago. I'm going to go up to Tacoma, and I'm going to sit out on this house out in the middle of nowhere. It's all like 1408 stuff. I'm going to go to this house. I'm going to be there alone. I'm going to find out what's going on out there, too.
Okay.
But this week, I think what I'm going to talk about, I had a conversation at lunch that really, really got me thinking. You know, how many people saw the Princess Diana thing? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Did you see the concert?
I know there was one.
But you didn't see it?
No.
Okay. Sarah, did you see it?
What, like 10 years ago?
No, she died 10 years ago, but they had a big celebration yesterday for her birthday.
Celebration. She's dead.
See, it goes to show you, that...
About the beach ball.
Well, okay. So I was having this lunch today, and I was with these people who are evangelicals that I eat with. These evangelical Christian people.
Right.
And they were scared to death about this. Because they were saying it was like a Billy Graham crusade. Because the two princes were up there basically leading everybody in cheers. And you have these pictures of Diana flashing everywhere and rock stars playing guitars and
Who's
singing.
Who's terrified
everything
of Prince William?
Well, let me just tell you.
Oh, does this have to do with reptiles?
No.
Okay.
It could.
You want Alien?
It could. No. Okay, what I'm saying is that princes, they just felt it was idolatry. You know what idolatry is,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The idea of worshiping something other than God, right? And so they were freaked out about it. And they have a reason to be freaked out about it because of my theories that Rolling Stone talked about, Rolling Stone magazine, my theories about what Prince William is going to end up being.
The Antichrist.
Exactly.
Well, seeing how...
You think Prince William's the Antichrist?
Well, I have no evidence, by the way. I just know that that sentence always ends in, the Antichrist.
Prince William...
So-and-so will grow up to be...
The Antichrist.
Yes. It's always the Antichrist.
Seriously,
totally the Clyde Boggs.
It will always... grow up to be...
Because it's never like, we'll grow up to be the town butcher. We'll grow up to be a repairman. It's always the Antichrist.
He will grow up to be the Antichrist.
Okay.
And but do you think he's currently the Antichrist? Or
well, you know, he's going to school for it.
He's in training.
His grandmother...
He's only the semi-Christ.
His grandmother is a lizard breath, of course, the reptilian, shape-shifting reptile that I think she is. Diana even said before she died they all drink blood and sacrifice.
No, she didn't.
She did
when
too.
Did she
didn't
say, that? Say that?
She did say
she
that.
Didn't
where?
Say that.
She
didn't say that. Where did she say that? I will give you $1 million if you have audio or video or anything of Princess Diana saying she drinks blood.
No.
She said it like in, I think, The Star or something. Something like that. I don't know. She said it.
Was it the Weekly World News?
The Weekly World News. No.
She didn't say it.
But anyway, Princess Diana had said some really bad... And even the Queen Mother had said, there are dark things going on behind the scenes in London. And now we have them there, people setting fire to themselves. I mean, come on. And not only that, okay, and this is... I coined this phrase.
Uh-huh.
You guys think I'm crazy, but listen to this.
I didn't say
you
that.
You coined that phrase?
Okay. Now, you got to understand... That it's not Armageddon we have to worry about. It's Charmageddon we have to worry about. It's all charming at first. And then it turns out to be a trap. Think about it.
Charmageddon sounds like some really dark Care Bears film or something where it's like they're unleashing Charmageddon on the world. That's a dumb joke. We should take a break. Okay,
by the way, you were wrong about Walk 500 Miles. It's from Benny and June.
Are you sure?
Yeah, what am I thinking? A bunch of people write me.
Well, the one's from Doc Hollywood, then that's going to bug me now. Benny and June with, what's his name, Johnny Depp, filmed in Spokane.
Who had the potential of becoming
the Antichrist.
Right. But he didn't.
Clyde Lewis tonight, Ground Zero Lounge, 8 o'clock at Dante's, or visit him online at groundzeromedia.org.
Is that it?
I'm not kicking you out.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
Saying, we got to go to a break.
Okay.
Make sure you get your plug in here. All right, let me play this
for
the break here.
All right, cool.
All right, this is, here's a terrible song we can go to break with. This is another song I hated.
Oh, Marcy Playground?
This is from Susan Reynolds, by the way, which is why I'm playing it.
Oh, I saw them play when I was in high school.
Spectrum Candy.
The best part about the song is how he describes himself as having had too much caffeine, which, you know, you can really hear.
Every word to this stupid song.
Oh. See, this is why, I mean, the music industry is difficult to make it in, and so I wish people the best of luck, except for, like, this guy. From the very instant I saw this video.
Sex and candy still grossing me out.
Now, you know what this song is about?
Oh, no.
Do you want to know?
I sure do.
It's from a, and he said this in an interview. The same interview where Princess Diana said she drank blood. Because his dad is, like, a shrink. His dad's a psychologist or something. And the guy said...
Yeah, mama.
This song, he had talked to his dad about how to write this song, because this song is a surrealist description of a, how do I put this? A very special kind of dream that young men sometimes have.
Oh, that kind of dream.
Yeah.
Eating Tootsie Rolls.
Yes, exactly.
Getting down to the last Tootsie. Right?
Uh-huh.
Something. How many licks does it take to get to the middle, right?
Three! 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 All right, back after this is the Rick Emerson Show.
If you would like to advertise on a...
Grammy for this?
I think so. She's really pretty.
That's the best you can say. She is really, she's got all that hair.
I haven't seen what she looks like in like 10 years.
She's got a beaky nose, though. You know who wrote this? He's the guy from the Zombies that wrote All You Zombies and Day by Day.
Yeah.
My sister would listen to this on repeat in her bedroom for hours.
I already made a Lilith Fair reference once today, but seriously. Ugh. You know, I always confuse her with what's her name, the Mother Mother. Who sang Mother Mother? What's her name, Bonham? John Helena Bonham, but whatever her name is, Janice Bonham, Sydney Bonham. Joan Bonham, whatever her name was. That, but you know the song, right? Mother, Mother. I was confused with her, whoever, that Joan Osborne. Some of the laziest rhyming.
It's really
rhyming
much in the song. Like Googling reptilian civilization singing along to Joan Osborne.
I never Googles anything happy. During the break, it's like avian flu, anthrax, reptilian, Nazis. You know, just over there, just every death, blood.
I was looking up Matthew Sweet. Wasn't he like a one-hit wonder?
He wasn't a one-hit wonder, but he is a 90s guy, even though he puts out records now. Very
he
much
does?
A 90s guy. Yeah, I mean, nobody buys them. Except for me. I'm the only one that buys new Matthew Sweet records. He wasn't a one-hit wonder. He had two. He had Sick of Myself, Winona, and Girlfriend, which is a big hit. What would it look like and would you want to see? All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing, bud?
I'm fine, sir or madam.
Okay. Has anybody done the da-da-da?
Oh, no.
By the police? It's oh, the Volkswagen.
Da-da-da.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, not really a hit, but
the Volkswagen. Yeah, the Volkswagen commercial song. I don't even know who sang that.
I think Trio. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me say right now that I don't really care who sang it because I probably won't play it. But no, I forgot all about that. That's one of those songs. It was like in a commercial. Everybody knew it for like a day, and then we all forgot about it at the same time.
Oh, but we all sing it though in our heads forever and ever.
That's just you.
I got a joke about
this. Is that like morning show? Clyde kicked in there for a second. I have to laugh.
I just heard that.
Rick said something. Let me
only
tackle
you. I just like.
Yes. What did we have?
Okay.
That's not. Thank you. Bye now.
What about Catherine Wheel's Black Metallic? That was a great song.
Catherine Wheel. I have forgotten all about them. They did a great cover of Wish You Were Here.
Did they really?
Yeah. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. This is Cassidy. I got a few of them. What about CNC Music Factory? Let's Pump Up the Jam.
They had several. No. You're confusing two different acts. Pump Up the Jam was Technotronic.
Oh, Technotronic.
With featuring Yak Kid K. CNC Music Factory had three different songs, three different top 40 hits. They had Gonna Make You Sweat. They had Here We Go, Let's Rock and Roll. And they had Things That Make You Go,
That's the big one.
Yeah. Featuring Freedom Williams and what's her name? And Freedom Williams on lead vocals, Martha Wash, visualized by Zilma Davis. That was CNC Music Factory, named for their producers, Clavillas and Cole.
Excellent.
I'm a nerd. Yes?
Pop and Daddy. Was that in the 90s?
Oh, boy. You want to talk about a fad that couldn't go away? Yeah, there was all of those idiotic, those swing bands. Man, and my wife who would play...
Oh, those were fun. I used to go take the ferry across the
sea. They were for skiing or something.
No, so. I mean, I guess they were... I mean, it was okay. It's just like... But you know what it is? It's because my wife, girlfriend at the time, played the Squirrel Nut Zippers record. Constantly.
I had that album.
I hated that album. I grew to hate it. And so the Cherry Pop and Daddies were kind of cool, and I liked. Who was in Swingers? Who was that band that was in Swingers?
Oh,
that sang You and Me in the Bottle Makes Three Tonight. Who was that band?
I'm drawing a blank.
I feel so bad for those guys because now I can't even remember them. But the Squirrel Nut Zippers
were. Big
Bad
Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. The Squirrel Nut Zippers had terrible songs.
They did Suit Riot.
No, that's the Cherry Pop and Daddy.
That's
all right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
What about right. Soup Dragons?
The Soup Dragons, again with the 80s rock.
Is that it? No, that's 90s.
No, the Soup Dragons were the 80s.
I was at KJQ when I was 90s, right?
Really?
92.
Hi, we're old men. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick.
Hi.
How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I don't know if this counts as a one-hit wonder because I don't even know if it was a hit, but what about Chris Gaines?
Oh, Chris Gaines. You know, we were talking about Chris Gaines last week. I liked that. I'll tell you, and I'm the only one on earth, I liked the Chris Gaines thing.
Well, he did good on Saturday Night Live.
I thought that Chris Gaines, that whole project was at least, interesting. And I'll tell you this, the thing about Garth being Chris Gaines, it was a big flop and everybody kind of laughed at it. But you know what, I'll tell you this. Rather than just sitting and putting out the same record over and over again and just being predictable and putting out the same cliche country songs and touring, Garth Brooks tried to do something really interesting and different, and it was a failure. It didn't work, but I totally give respect to that guy for using his power and his clout to try something that was different and left of center and really kind of groundbreaking. Didn't really work, but I think it was great that he tried to do that whole alter ego thing.
Yeah.
Clearly, his sentiment not shared by this caller. Yeah, the caller's not with me on that. All right.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, thanks. He's not on board the Chris Gaines train. All right, I got one here. We won't take a break here, but I got one.
We might as well just play. It feels like a vacation day. Nobody's here today.
I don't know how many people have today off and how many people have Wednesday off.
Not very many people have the day off.
Because everybody I know is working.
A lot of my friends took the day off or had the day off.
Really?
I have the day off tomorrow.
All right. This is, let's see. Here's a little 2 degrees of separation from Sarah Dillon.
Oh, yeah. I've met Harvey Danger.
Well, and because what's his name was their label guy or whatever, wasn't Greg? Didn't he run their label? Were they on Greg's label?
Yeah, but I met them when I was in high school.
Really?
Uh-huh.
They were on Greg's, like Greg from KNRK. They were on his record label. I remember him referencing that on the air.
I think they still are. Well, yeah, because he I think brought them onto his label during this period of time.
Boy, these guys are, this is nerd rock. This is like, this is like if the store's out of Bare Naked Ladies CDs. What, you don't have anything by Too Much Joy? What do you have that's like that, but less interesting?
Yeah, I really tried to like Harvey Danger. This is the only decent song, the only thing that was stuck in my head.
You can totally tell, too, can't you, when you hear a certain song, and you can just tell in your bones, like, this is all they have. This is it. All right.
I just found out something.
Oh, no.
Is it about Nazis?
No, this is happiness.
Is it about reptiles?
No, it's happiness. Deb the MILF is now working in the Mount Tabor Theater as a bartender. Suddenly, I found that out just now.
See, good news for you. We found out something that's good news for you.
No.
A friend of you got a job. I love this song. Don't front on this song.
I totally love this song. 100%. This is the greatest song.
These guys and The Verve both just got back together. This is a beautiful song.
I would listen to this and Matchbox 20 Push, like those two singles.
I have this maxi single. 4 remixes of this.
When I was young, I knew everything.
This is a great song.
She a punker rarely ever took advice.
Okay, what does he say there?
Now, she a punker rarely took advice.
With my head on the floor. Stop a baby's breath. And
this is a great song. Now, do you remember the follow-up to this song called Villains? They had a top 40 hit that followed to this called Villains. Not a bad song at all.
Hmm.
This almost reminds me of the Eric Segal book, The Class, because I'm a retard.
I won't be held responsible.
We filled the entire day with this topic.
She fell in love
sort of
in
into
the first place.
For the life of me,
I cannot remember what made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me,
yeah, this is a great song.
I cannot believe we ever died for these sins. We were merely freshmen.
Songs like this because it's like a tragic story song.
I always used to get this confused with the Verve Pipe, and then The Verve was at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. Same thing. The Verve did Bittersweet Symphony, and then they just reunited.
And the Rolling Stones still make money off that song.
Totally. 100% of that, the royalties go to them on that. Yeah.
That's kind of hot.
Oh, Oh, yeah, no, it was a good-looking guy. The guy, Brian Vander Ark, was the lead singer for the Verve. Why do I know this crap? Brian Vander Ark was the lead singer for the Verve Pipe. Of all the useless friggin' knowledge to have in my head, I know the name of the lead singer for the Verve Pipe, Brian Vander Ark.
You lost your calling. You need to write for Team B.
Yes, and to find a time machine.
I think I have a new crush on this guy.
Well, he's probably somebody you can get now. He'd probably come play in the studio for us.
No, you know he has a little barefoot wife and like three little kids running around.
You're a terrible person.
No, I'm serious. You look at him and he looks like Mary Young. That's what I see.
Totally. Mary Young, life over.
Like Howard Jones.
I can't find the one I wanted to play here.
Is Howard Jones a one-hit wonder?
Howard Jones, no, he had several hits.
He's
ask anybody in
Utah.
Yeah. No, Laura and I went back to Utah a couple months ago.
To see him?
No, just to visit her family.
Uh-huh.
And we were like at some pizza place. It was like a huge thing. Coming next week, Howard Jones.
Oh, man.
As much as I joke about how Howard Jones plays in Utah every week, every time I've gone back to Utah, there's been a big banner, like a billboard somewhere, heralding that he's coming back to play Wolf Mountain.
Whoa. He still sells in Utah.
Oh, no, he's huge in Utah.
Plays in Utah.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
What's up, sir?
Here's a one-hit wonder that stuck with us for 10 years. The Rembrandts, I'll Be There For You from Friends.
I'll Be There For You. Do you remember the Rembrandts' other single, sir?
I do not.
The Rembrandts' I'll Be There For You, which they don't even like. They hate playing that song in concert because they didn't write it. The Rembrandts had this song called That's Just The Way It Is, Baby. And that was their single before that. And then they did I'll Be There For You. And then I think they broke up after that because they hated each other. So.
The other song you were talking about, the song being from Doc Hollywood, wasn't that part of Benny and June?
Yeah, I guess there is no song from Doc Hollywood. I guess I was just confusing it with a bunch of other crap. I got nothing.
Kind of thinking so, but you know,
right.
Benny and June, great soundtrack.
It is, great soundtrack. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, I got something here. Okay, how about this? See if we can get this to play. Here's a band.
Oh.
Oh, no, please.
Tennessee.
I'm proud to say I disliked these guys from the very first day.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real.
Do you remember there's like 100 guys in this, including one old dude who just sat there with a gourd or something?
I remember.
It's like an old guy in a robe who just, like a Mrs. Roper house dresser, just sat there like waving like a yam in the air.
You know why I like our job? Because we're just sitting here playing on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're torturing people with our memory.
I'm being paid for this.
Down in Louisiana.
Listen, it's their greatest hit. See? Most of the time it hits. See, but it's a hit. Because they only had the... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What about Sex and Candy?
Oh, no, we just played that about 10 minutes ago.
Sorry, I must have been hiding from my boss.
In your face. All right,
the only other thing was, like, you're the only other person that ever mentioned Driving and Crying. I thought I was the only guy that bought two of their records.
Driving and Crying was a great band. They had Driving and Crying. They had that song Fly Me Courageous, and they had The Innocents. Driving and Crying is a great band. My friend Rob is really, really into Driving and Crying. Those guys are really good.
Yeah, it freaked me out when I heard you mention them on the radio. I was like, oh, my God.
No,
flashback.
No, it's true. All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, thank you. All right.
You didn't play your absolute one-hit wonder.
Did I say I had one?
Yeah, I remember we interviewed him once.
And only once. No. Hey, are you a logged-in member of YouTube?
No.
Oh, because this one video, they want me to log in before I can play it.
That must mean it's not as
dirty.
It is dirty.
It is
dirty.
It is dirty.
Song.
But I don't want to log in.
Sex Ima by Berlin?
I don't want to log in. I don't want to give them any. I don't have to take the time to line to sign up here.
You know, just hit it. It's just supposed to confirm that you're old enough to see it.
No, but it just says log in.
You don't even have a log in?
I've never had to log into YouTube before.
He doesn't have a log in.
I have a log out.
Just stop. Just... Does anybody have a YouTube login and password that I can use?
So please call in.
I think I do, but I don't know.
Hi, you're on the. It's worth it. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, you remember Chris Cross?
Yeah, Chris Cross, Jump. But my question to you, sir, is: do you remember another bad creation?
No.
You don't remember another bad creation? Cooling at the playground, you know?
No.
Another bad creation was, they were even younger than Crisscross. Another bad creation was like a bunch of 8-year-olds, and they were produced by Michael Bivins from Belle Biv DeVoe. And they were, I swear to God, no joking, they were like an 8-year-old version of Belle Biv DeVoe.
How many I remember about Crisscross is the backwards clothes.
Yeah, well, and Crisscross were produced by Jermaine Dupri, who then went on to produce like 9 other bands that were just a bunch of little... Jermaine Dupri seems to have a strange predilection for little kids, because he does, in a musical sense, because he's produced a whole bunch of artists that are all like 10 years old. He just replicated that Crisscross thing over and over, and then he started putting it to Janet Jackson, so...
yeah, he's creepy.
Ruined her career. Yeah. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a login.
I guess I'm
going
to have to. Do you?
Yes.
Are you screwing with me?
No, it's Harry Scary Guy, but I can't give the...
Well, no, you just write the password down.
Okay. You don't need to announce
it. Is it all one word?
You can only give it to him if you announce
Harry
it on the air.
Harry Scary Guy.
All one word, Harry Scary Guy. Okay, and then give me the login, because I want to be able to play this video.
Geez. Give me a pen.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I have one from the 80s I have to ask you about.
All right.
Switching to Glide, the Kings. Does that ring a bell at you at all? Switching to glide.
No,
this beat goes on. Okay. Well, here's the one. The Refreshments, Bandidos.
Don't even get me started.
Okay. The two of the best albums ever underappreciated.
Let me say this. That Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy by the Refreshments is one of the most overlooked albums of all time. Bandidos was their big hit. But let me tell you this. Now, if you are not already familiar, sir, do you know that Roger Klein from the Refreshments has started a new band called
Peacemakers.
The Peacemakers? It's basically, it's like John Fogerty versus NCCR. It's basically the same thing. Yeah, the Peacemakers, Roger Klein and the Peacemakers, fantastic, and hands down, the best live show I've seen in probably 10 years.
Fantastic. And don't forget, the Bottle and Fresh Horses is a great album, too.
No, the Refreshments were fantastic. Lovely wife turned me on to them and to Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. We saw them together, and seriously, hands down, brilliant, beautiful, classic American rock. I mean, absolute, wonderful, glorious Americana. I cannot speak highly enough of the Refreshments and Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. I mean...
All the wit and none of the cheese of like a John Mellencamp.
And I got no problem with Mellencamp, but I will say that, yeah, Roger Klein and the Peacemakers and the Refreshments, I mean, are true, beautiful, wonderful Americana rock. It's absolutely a thing of beauty. It really is. So.
Well, everyone should go out to a used music store and pick up one of their CDs.
Seriously, I mean, yeah, do whatever you can to pick up the Refreshments or again anything by Roger Klein and the Peacemakers.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, man.
Thank you, sir. No, it's, I want to go on and on about it, but I will say, we were big Refreshments fans, my wife and I, but we didn't know about Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. And again, it's very much like a, it's very much like a Creedence Clearwater Revival thing, where he sort of is the main, it's like a Brian Wilson versus the Beach Boys thing, it's the same thing. So this guy who was working here at the time, a guy named Casey, said, hey, if you're a Refreshments fan, you got to go see his new band, the Peacemakers. They're at Burbadi's Pan. This was last year. My wife and I saw Roger Klein and the Peacemakers, and as corny as this sounds, and anybody who's seen that guy will tell you, it's so easy to get jaded about music and to sort of, just to forget what it's like to really be thrilled by something. And I got to tell you, that show, just simple, basic, stripped-down, sort of Southwest flavor, like an alt-country kind of rock, just, it was beautiful. It was the definition of a fantastic, glorious rock concert. So, you get a chance, check him out, Roger Klein and the Peacemakers.
My contribution is right there at Sirius. Right, it's supposed to.
Mine is still queuing up. We should
I already played that.
You did?
We should take a break here. Mine's still queuing up, Sarah, so if you have something.
Oh, I sure do, Rick Emerson.
Mine,
you do?
You just sounded like Sarah Jessica Parker and Ed Wood. Oh, I hear you. I just don't know what you're saying. Give a little bit.
That just sounds like it.
Hold on, don't tell me. I don't know. Don't tell me yet.
You know what this is?
I guess. Oh, yeah. Who is my ultimate one-hit wonder? Who are you talking about?
Semisonic.
Oh, yeah.
Opposing Temple.
This is Take That, right?
It sure is.
Now known as the launching pad for Robbie Williams. These guys just did a huge reunion in Britain. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show continues next. You stay there. AM 970.
Solid State Radio.
Despite its large bulbous head, its brain is small. An ornery creature, the southwestern tortoise, one cornered or poked with
with a sharp object, such as a number two pencil or barbecue fork, pulls its head back into its shell.
So just how far down do you want to go? Or we could talk it out over a cup of joe. And you could look deep into my eyes like I was a supermodel. Uh-huh.
They usually segue this song right into the King of the Hill thing. They were just here. I think they were the Crystal. About 2 months ago. Something like that. And you got to give them props, by the way, because they are the only song ever to use. They're not the only song to reference Jean-Luc Picard, though. There was some other song that did that recently. But when he says here, your alias is Jean-Luc Picard. Ever been a better line than everybody knows the world is full of stupid people? Really, it's our unofficial motto. Alright. And Sarah was noting during the race, she was lamenting how cute guys were during the alt-rock era. He's another one, the sort of sensitive
super,
and soulful,
super
good
looking.
But scruffy.
Yeah.
And he's got that cool kind of ragged, like, southwestern charm to him.
He has the same hair that my first boyfriend had. Yeah. The aesthetic is shaggy.
Yeah. If you want to pick up a fantastic, and I swear to God, I'm not on Roger Klein's payroll. If you want to pick up a fantastic record, Roger Klein and the Peacemakers, it's called Americano. Came out about 2 years ago. Unbelievably good. 503-733-2970 here with. I thought you had to leave. I'm not trying to kick you out, but
I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna leave about 10 minutes. I'm leaving 10 minutes.
I don't care.
10-15.
No, there's no Tim day.
This show's gonna be over.
Tim, seriously, we'll be done. You have to leave at 3.
Oh, I do.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of liking it here. It's kind of underground, kind of cool.
No, I like it here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, sir.
I just came here. Oh, there we go. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, hey. I have to totally agree with you on the Refreshment / Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. Yeah. Absolutely one of the best bands out there, hands down.
Yeah.
My suggestion for One Hit Wonder is probably the longest title of a song ever made, Primitive Radio Gods. Kind of a broken phone book with money in my hand.
Yeah, I forgot all about that song. Yeah, that's 97, something like that, 96?
Not 97, yeah, they sampled Wild Side by Lou Reed.
Yeah, man, I forgot all about that. Well, that's the whole thing. This whole day started by Scotty talking about Vertical Horizon, which is this band that everybody's forgotten about. And then now it's just nothing but 90s one-hit wonders all day long. Because when Tim's gone, the mice will play. So, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, hi guys, it's Mailman Brian out in the Grove.
What's up, brother?
Delivering the people's mail. Okay, I have some observations a la Rick style here.
Yeah.
Tracy Bonham was the woman whose name you couldn't think of.
Mother, right, yeah.
Yeah. She also went on to fame with the Blue Man Group on their second album as singing some of the vocals of the Blue Man Group.
Okay, interesting.
You may have missed
White
that.
White Rabbit.
And Sarah, I think this is the best hangover show, post-hangover show ever, don't you think?
Really, nothing.
It's so fun. I love this job.
Yeah, that is why we have the best job on earth. I don't mean to brag, but I mean, come on, seriously.
And you mentioned the Tubes. I went and saw them Saturday night at the 11. And, you know, I mean, as much as people think they have, like, three songs, they have a very deep catalog.
Did you know that, Clyde? The Tubes and with Fee Wabel.
Yeah, I heard.
Here at
I
the
heard.
Latin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a Tubes fan, but I know people who are into them are really into them.
Well, I mean, some of the earlier stuff, early 70s, 73, 74, you would swear that you're listening to, like, Zappa doing stuff of that era. And very excellent guitar player and just real fun. And one other thing, isn't it amazing? You have had no screener today, and this is probably the best show ever.
No, really, that is true.
And Scotty kind of disappeared 2 hours ago. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, Scotty just vanished. He did the news at, like, 1:15, and then he never came back.
I think
well, he's preparing the top-of-the-hour news for Likas, so that takes him a while, but so he can erase it.
He's busy, I was going to say, he's busy making mistakes. All right, thank you.
I got you back. Bye.
All right, let's do one more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Got a Metalheads one-hit wonder, a band called Scatterbrain with Down With The Ship.
Oh, why do I feel like I should know that and
also,
I don't?
Also, Don't Call Me Dude.
I don't know that either.
Don't Call Me Dude.
By who?
I don't know who sings, but I remember Don't Call Me Dude.
I remember
Scatterbrain. That's what they're called.
Scatterbrain sang that?
That reminds me of Institutionalized by Suicidal
Tendencies. Yeah. It's like Scatterbrain can actually play their instruments on, like, green jelly. Let's see, what else? Black Gold by Soul Asylum.
Black Gold, but that's not a one-hit wonder because that was the follow-up to Runaway Train. No. That was the follow-up to Runaway Train, which was, in fact, the follow-up to Somebody to Shove.
Mm.
And all three of them were followed by Misery. Off, Let Your Dim Light Shine, which is a big hit as well.
You're killing me here.
Four-hit wonder.
Brother Kane's and Fools Shine On.
Brother Kane. Dude, I forgot all about them. Brother Kane also had the God No Shame. That was Brother Kane.
I think, yeah, it's like, and Fools Shine On. Yeah. And,
genius. Yes, excellent.
Let's see, what else? That guy, that singer-songwriter for Brother Kane, he was in Alice Cooper's band, I think.
Yeah, what's his name? I know the guy you're talking about, because him and, what's his name, Roxy whatever from Roxy 77.
Yeah.
They're both playing guitar for Alice Cooper right now. God, we're nerds.
I think he's got another band, like, one member of Queensryche, and then one member from here, and one member from there.
Yeah, when I saw Alice Cooper at the Roseland a couple years ago, I'm like, where do I know that guy from? And then I realized it was the dude from Brother Kane. Excellent. Good reference, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right. Let's talk about lips that could suck start a Harley. Shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Don't give it away.
Oh, the divinyl?
Yeah.
Don't give it away.
Hot as balls.
Didn't she wear that net stuff on her body?
Yeah, she wore a body stocking.
She was so hot.
I don't know what she looks like.
She's ugly pretty. She's got exaggerated features.
Yeah.
She's like Sandra Bernhardt if she ate real heavily for a while.
All I remember is she was wearing like a red body stocking or something with her.
She's got big lips. Like really like I think they're real too. I don't think it's collagen. Speaking of, I think they're real. She's just a very voluptuous woman in every way. Hot, though.
Well, these guys never had anything else.
Because, again, how can you possibly... The double-edged sword that these bands face is like, you have to release this.
She's 60 now, probably.
It's 100. You have to release this as the first single because it's so strong, you may only get one shot at a single. So you got to lead with your right, as boxers say. You got to release this. It's like Sean Mullins and that Rockabye song. You've got to release this as the first single because, again, you never get a... Sometimes you don't get a second chance. Mm-hmm. You've got to release the strongest song. But then, if it's like this, you can never follow it up. I mean, you really feel for these bands sometimes. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, a couple of alternative rock one-hit wonders for you.
All right.
Blind Melon and Crash Test Dummies.
No, Crash Test Dummies, I was going to play, but they had like three or four.
And they had Afternoons and Coffee Spoons, and then they had Superman song, which
made
to me, the definitive Crash Test Dummies song. That's a beautiful song, yeah. And then, Weren't they in the studio with you when you were doing the Liz Wilde show?
Yeah, I was a producer of the Liz Wilde show that came in.
What was the first one you said, sir?
Blind Melon.
Blind Melon. I've told the story 1,000 times. But when I saw Blind Melon, they played No Rain twice.
Oh.
They played it halfway through the set and then they encored with it.
I remember when I saw America,
that's
man.
Yeah, America played Horse of No Name
twice.
Horse of
No Name
twice, yeah. Yeah, good time. Yeah, well, because my friend of mine had this statement. He said that every band... Even a bad band, every band has one good song in them, and that is totally the That's totally the proof. Is Blind Melon and their one song. So excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, forgive me if it's already been said, but I'm gonna go President of the United States of America.
Oh, they had peaches yeah. too.
Oh yeah, they did have two, didn't they?
Yeah.
How about Tone Loke?
Tone Loke had two hits. He had Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina.
Yes, he did.
Damn. Okay.
And he sampled
Young MC.
Song.
Young MC had two hits. Young MC had Bust a Move and he had Principal's Office.
Ah,
off
suck.
To the Principal's Office I go. No. Yeah.
House of Pain.
House of Pain, the band?
Yes.
House of Pain had Jump Around, and then their follow-up hit, which also charted the top 40, was Shamrocks and Shenanigans, also known as Boom Shalock Lock Boom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man,
Behold
bad.
My only skill. I really am just like a Don Geronimo half his age. It's just sad. I mean, really, this isn't even impressive. It's just sad that I know all this. I didn't even vote until I was like 30. So.
Oh, man.
All right.
By the way, crash test dummies make me want to pull my ears off my head.
No, they wear real thin with me, but they did a song, again, this thing called Superman Song, which is probably the best song ever written about Superman, which is saying something. So, that guy in that voice, it's like after a while it feels like that voice is inside your head rattling your teeth for a while, you know?
They're one of those bands that, you know, they think that they're too important. Sort of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a lot of college rock. It's a lot of guys who think they're smarter than you do. You know,
makes me crazy.
Yeah, no,
thanks a lot, Rick.
I'm with you. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
There you go. Oh God, here's a terrible song. Well, let me see. I'm just playing this right now. I don't even know if it's queued up. This might not even be playable. By the way, there's no comments on it. You always know it's a forgotten artist when you go to the YouTube thing and there's no comments at all.
The Candyman.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Don't want to fall in love.
Jane Child. She had that power mullet. I mean, she had a full on, like a punk mullet. It was like spiky.
Are we going down to like Roxette Joyride?
Roxette is not a one hit wonder.
Doesn't she have like an earring?
Roxette had like nine hits. What are you, high? Roxette
had, I know.
It must have been love. It must have been love.
Oh, yeah.
No, this doesn't count. No, don't play it.
I just want to hear you do not fun
of. Can you pause there for just a second? I just have to tell you this Roxette knowledge. They had They had It Must Have Been Love. They had Listen to Your Heart. They had The Look.
I love that song.
They had The Look. Na 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 na. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
They also had Dress You Up. Dress for Success. I wanna get dressed for success. And not for
has anyone heard that song?
Baby,
you?
It was a hit. And then they had Joyride. And then they had Fading Like a Flower. Fading Like a Flower Every Time You Leave. Fading Like a Flower. Every Time You Leave.
I figured, hey, isn't that Singing Bee coming out? You ought to join up.
That's gay. What?
You ought to go on that Singing Bee show.
Singing Bee?
Yeah, NBC's coming out with this Singing Bee show. I bet you'd win. You'd win millions of dollars, and then you wouldn't have to be...
Thanks so much.
No, they're having a thing called the Singing Bee, and what it is that you don't have to sing well, you just have to know the words to songs. Mm-hmm. And you just get up there.
Within a certain genre and time, I could probably... Okay, now we're coming down to it. We got to pick one more each.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Well, we got... It's like two...
I got a doctor's appointment. What am I doing here?
The show's almost over. I got to pick one more one-hit wonder.
Oh, God.
One more forgotten 90s band. God, I don't even know. We're just so quiet. Well, this is how you entertain the people. You just lapse into silence. God, I'm looking through Little Black Backpack. I forgot all about that.
I like the Little Black Backpack.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got that out.
Oh, boy. There's a bunch of terrible suggestions. I mean, they're great, but I mean, they're all terrible.
The one that you haven't forgotten is Macarena by Los Del Rio.
But I'm not going to play that.
Or like Mambo Number 5.
That is it, man. That is the definitive one-hit wonder song that everybody hates.
But they're not forgotten enough.
I was playing It's In the Break, and you're playing A Set Back.
All right. I don't know what to play, though.
All right, I have mine.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm too sexy.
Oh, no!
Sexy.
Oh, I hate you.
Love's gotta believe me.
Oh, I hate hate you.
Somebody made a sexy Harry Potter video to this.
They did?
Of course. Okay.
Isn't that weird?
I'm going to play another terrible song when we come back. We'll end this. Now, I feel like this last one has to be definitive, but I can't find anything, so I'll just do... I'm going to play this terrible one on the way back, but not because it's especially great, only because it's the only one I can find.
Oh, shit.
All right, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't go anywhere.
I am too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan. Too sexy for your party, the way I'm disco time.
Well, that's a day done. Cut, print.
Did you pick your song?
Yeah, I've got the worst song ever recorded.
And it's not the Macarena or no. Mambo number 5?
No, because those are two not obscure enough. I mean, everybody knows that these songs should be songs that you sort of forgot about. And then somebody plays and you go, oh, God. I mean, you don't think about the Macarena every day.
Oh,
but
that's
it's not
how the rules are.
But it's not, I'm just saying, that's the best of these songs are the ones that you kind of forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the Macarena, you don't think about it, but it's not like it's some obscure song. People get Macarena again. People go, yeah, Macarena. The best of these songs or the worst of these songs are the ones that you sort of forgot about. And then as soon as they played, it all comes back. You're like, oh, God. Like that Mambo number 5, maybe. I'm not going to play that.
Please don't.
It's a terrible song.
No,
it's an awful
song.
It's the worst song. It's the worst song except for this one. This song is so bad.
Well, I know it.
Yes. This song almost makes me physically ill. And I'm not... I know that I'm given to hyperbole on the show, but let me say this. I had to play this song as a DJ, and I have never been more filled with hatred about a song. I have never... I don't think I've ever felt so strongly the desire to go find the artist behind a song and savagely beat them to death. And I swear to you, I remember working as a top 40 DJ and I had to play this song. And this song was on the Shadow Stevens top 40 countdown or whatever when I was running that show, I was board hopping that show. And they played this song and the only saving grace...
Okay, we're running out of time.
...was a couple slots after this was like... A Guns N' Roses song, and it just cleansed my soul. That this song still makes me angry. Who wants to hear it?
I do.
Having to play this like every 90 minutes. And there was no automation. I had to stay in the studio. I hate this song and this woman so much. So much. And it's all about that la-da-dee-da-da-da thing. I gotta hear it one more time.
Too.
It just fills. It's like a screwdriver turning in my brain.
Oh, make it stop.
So there you go. I don't think I've ever hated a song more than I hated that one. I mean, I can't think of any song lots of songs I didn't like, lots of songs that were bad or mediocre. I think I hate that song more than anything I ever had to play. I mean, that song made me angry. It was so bad and so irritating. It made me violently ill. Oh, thank God. Thank God. All right, we're done. All right. Well, I'm sorry. No time to be fair to another caller. If you're on hold, I apologize. We'll do this again at some point. Not anytime soon. Tomorrow, Tim Riley returns. So thank you to Scotty J for filling in today. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. The newsroom, Scotty J. Also the PA today, Scotty J. And the gatekeeper, Dave Zinn. We want to thank senior radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard. Coming up tomorrow, Dennis Pitchenbarger and other stories of comedy. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson show live from this studio again in 20 hours. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to help the retarded. And watch out for snakes. See you tomorrow. Bye.